much about fucking stuff.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Congratulations, universe. You win.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey Siri, you're very beautiful.
Thanks. Can we get back to more
your
now?
Lips are beautiful.
I don't really like these arbitrary categories.
Okay, will you marry me?
Let's just be friends.
Will you marry me?
We hardly know one another.
Will you please marry me?
I'm not capable of love.
I love you.
My end user licensing agreement does not cover marriage.
I love you.
You say that to all the virtual assistants.
I love you.
Can we get back to work now?
And now.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.
Our feature presentation.
Everybody talks about how Occupy Wall Street doesn't have a leader. I think there's your leader right there. I think we're looking at
there
you.
There it is.
Mugs.
I want to see Mugs on my news every night with an update on what Occupy Wall Street is all about, what they're asking for, what the next the organization's next move is.
Well, CNN's up the street. I could just go there.
Wouldn't it be the best if Mugs became the spokesperson for Occupy Wall Street?
He couldn't do any worse than the people that are doing it now are doing. I heard a guy this morning going, it's not about issues. I was like, and he's representing them. I'm like, okay, I don't understand anymore what it is about then.
Nobody knows what it's about.
No.
Hey, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday this time. A lot of shows straight ahead. First, though, today's animal story. Yesterday, we had the lady buried who took photos of herself in naked inside a horse.
yes, you heard that right.
Today is similar to that, except no people are involved. We take you to the great, wacky state of Florida this time.
Florida?
Yes, indeed. Apparently, Lisa, there's a problem in the Everglades with people who, and I guess this is true all over the country, people who get exotic pets and then they either run out of patience for them or they get too big or unwieldy or too dangerous and they just let them loose. That's what people do.
Yeah.
They don't bother to make that phone call to animal control and say, hey, I've got a 16-foot python. What should I do with it? They just throw it in the back of the Subaru and drive down to the Everglades and let it loose. So they got a big python problem. Pythons are not native to Florida at all, but there's a lot of them in the Everglades.
Oh,
because
man.
People released them, and I guess they hook up, and the next thing you know, you got lots of little baby snakes. Well, this one is in the news because they found it in a tree in the Everglades in western Miami-Dade County, and they shot it. And when it hit the ground, they noticed that, oh, I don't know, it had recently consumed a 76-pound deer.
Yay! What?
Can you now the pythons, folks, for folks who aren't up on their snakes, those are the ones that swallow their food. Sometimes they swallow their food alive and then it just dies, you know, because of the stomach acids from the snake. Sometimes they kill it and then swallow it. And they're the snakes who look like a snake, except they got a big bulge in them and that's what they're living off of for the next few days, right? But they've never seen a snake eat anything as big as a 76-pound deer.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine what that looked like?
I can't imagine how the deer couldn't get away.
From a snake?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what it says here. The python, an ambush predator, had staked out a known deer trail. Wow, that's pretty smart. When the deer walked by, the snake presumably seized the animal in its sharp, backward-pointing teeth, crushed the deer under its weight, then coiled around it, killing the deer before consuming it.
Oh, my God.
The snakes primarily eat smaller animals and birds, with larger pythons sometimes taking alligators, deer, and wild hogs. Although pythons have been discovered with deer remains before, this is the first time such a snake was caught just after consuming one. Biologists were able to see the size prey a python is capable of taking. Listen to this. With the deer inside, the snake had a girth of 44 inches around.
Wow.
He's bigger than some fat man.
So it looked like a deer wearing a python suit.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, wow. You know, he could probably eat a 100-pound woman.
Wow.
Probably so, yeah.
And with those teeth and stuff? I mean, I just never thought a human being would have to be afraid of that.
Of a python. Well, I guess the thing with pythons is they can squeeze you to death, too. You know, even if they don't just swallow you while you're alive, they get around you, and you're nowhere near strong enough to push a python off of you if it's wrapped you.
Right.
You know?
Well, once he's wrapped you, I just figured you could walk away before he could do that.
Because you know what? Because you have legs.
Right, exactly. I'm going
he doesn't.
Python.
Hey, Python, I'd love to stay and be dinner and tomorrow's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but I'm going to instead get away from you. So.
That is so frightening.
everything. I mean, nature is bizarre and fascinating, but just imagine being the guy who comes across a 16-foot python in a tree, who climbed up a tree with a deer in his belly. Oh. You couldn't write something like that.
No,
it's
you could not. You would, just, it would be believable.
It's just wacky.
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Well, that is true. Anyway, let's move on now to yet another award-winning Kevin and Bean show.
You guys won an award for your show?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Have they listened to you at all?
Well, that is part of the problem. Beer Mug, you're going to be very excited today. We're talking about one of your favorite topics. The McRib is back.
Oh, my God.
And I was asking yesterday, and the McRib, by the way, I did a little research last night. The McRib has been around on and off in McDonald's restaurants since 1981.
What?
The McRib is not a new thing. The McRib apparently at one time was considered a failed product and was only reintroduced and became popular again as a tie-in to the Flintstones movie.
Right, I remember
with
that.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I did not remember that. That is news.
And there's just a whole mythology about why the rib is shaped like a rib, because there's not a bone in it, but they still form it into the shape of a rib.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it's best if we don't discuss what parts of what animal are in the McRib. But the point is they're delicious. And the point is that now you see them, now you don't. And in any minute, they could take the McRib away. And that's what the Occupy Wall Street people ought to be worried about. Is we're, when's the McRib going away? How about a little transparency on that, McDonald's? Anyway, we'll be talking to somebody from McDonald's today about the magic and majesty of the McRib. Our friend Petros Papadakis is going to be on the show today, talking about college football and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Beer Mug, you had another big night last night. You were at some Hollywood fancy schmancy premiere. What's going on?
Only the red carpet premiere of a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
How about
cool.
that?
Yeah.
Did you stay for the movie?
No, I had to get home and go to sleep so I could perform today.
So you wouldn't yell at him.
Right.
Did you burn any bridges with stars Cal Penn and John Cho, who are scheduled to be in studio with us later on today?
Of course not.
Oh, good. Okay. Because I felt like by now we'd have a phone call on the Kevin and Bean answering machine that would say, after what happened to them last night, they're never coming on our show again. So that's good news. Also tell you about the new book by Shaquille O'Neal. There's a guy who's led a fascinating life with lots of interesting things happening to it. I bet there's a lot of stories about his NBA career that he can now talk about now that he's retired.
Yes.
But not so much during. So that should be interesting. And, ladies, you're going to hate me, but I'm going to tell you in less than an hour why losing weight is easy, and I'm sick of all your whining about how hard it is.
This is a death wish. You know that, right?
This might be it.
Yeah.
This might be it.
You're not going to survive.
But I'm right.
You're not right.
And they're whiny little bitches who just like to complain rather than lose weight, which is easy to do. That's
and
my point.
It's not just ladies either, by the way.
Well,
way
the ladies are the
men.
Ones who need to lose the weight, though. That's my point.
God, it just gets worse.
Anyway, all of that coming up, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat right after this on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's
going
on?
Hey, things.
Things?
Yeah, things are going on.
Tell me more.
Kim Kardashian was in Australia. I mentioned yesterday she hopped on a plane with her sister Chloe and flew out of the United States of America to avoid the harsh glare of the press bearing down on her. Oh, also to go and promote her clothing line and to do interviews.
Oh.
Yeah, she is filed for divorce less than 72 hours ago, but she's already in full damage control mode. She was talking to Kyle and Jackie O, the radio show in Australia. Oh, I love Kyle and Jackie O.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jackie O was dead, but apparently she's doing a radio show in Australia.
Who knew?
She said in the interview that she's just not ready to go into details about her marriage, but she wants to make it clear that she would never take her vows lightly for money and thinks it's ridiculous to even have to defend herself.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's not ridiculous at all because you jammed your wedding down our throats every given opportunity and you made a ton of money off of it too. So explain yourself.
They have no sense of reality at all.
They must not. They want all of the benefits of being in the public eye and being a personality and none of the downside. Which is sometimes you have to experience difficult personal things in public eye.
Yeah.
And they have to be filming all of this for future episodes, right?
Of course they are. Nothing happens in their lives if it's not happening in front of a camera. Chloe was also in the interview saying, I've always admired Kim's view on life and love. Well, what's not to admire? She obviously has been through two failed marriages and has a lot of personal issues regarding commitment and her ability to recognize whether she's truly in love with someone.
Yeah.
By the way, I got an email from a listener yesterday who made a suggestion. I think it's appropriate. From now on, I'm going to call Kim Kardashian, porn star Kim Kardashian. Because really, that's what she's known for. The only thing she's ever really achieved in her life is to have be filmed banging Ray J. And that's what made her a celebrity.
Yeah.
That's
for
true.
Now, so from now on, she's porn star Kim Kardashian.
Who all else right. was she married to?
Oh, some she was 19.
Guy before she was famous.
Yeah,
oh,
she was
I didn't
19
even know that.
And she married. Neither did Chris Humphries, by the way. Before,
that's
just
right.
before they got married.
Really?
There was an episode of Keeping Up the Kardashians where she's like, well, my first wedding. And he's like, what? My first wedding. You were married before? This is like days before their wedding.
Wow.
So obviously they missed out on having a few important conversations. Mm-hmm. So, porn star Kim Kardashian in Australia.
I like it.
Doing the best she can to try to rehab her image.
Poor thing.
Oh, it's a full-time job being her. Elle McPherson. People are talking about her, saying that perhaps she gave the girls a little boost.
Oh.
UK's Daily Mail spotted the supermodel showing off some significantly larger cleavage recently. She seems to have gone through a growth spurt, says one doctor, at the age of 48.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's. I mean, usually you get a lift about that age, right?
Yeah, but she seems to have gone from about an A cup to a C cup.
Wow. Go, girl.
You go, Elle McPherson.
Giant size cans.
Yeah.
It's even hotter now. Frida Pinto. Can't wait for you to check out The Immortals. She says it's one of her favorite films she's ever done. Well, she's only done a couple films. So.
True.
She says there's an amazing scene in the movie where she chants and prays with her fake fellow priestesses and promises magic in the film. If I go there and there's no effing magic, I'm going to come after you, Slumdog Millionaire. Going to be troubles. And Lindsay Lohan was in court yesterday. Her best friend, Judge Stephanie Sautner, was there as well. And she admitted to violating her probation in front of the judge yesterday morning.
Oh, cooch.
She fessed. She fessed up. TMZ.com reports her honor sentenced her to 30 days in jail. And put a pretty tight leash on Lindsay.
All right, do the Harvey Levin TMZ math for me. How much jail does that really mean, Ralph?
It means 4 hours, I think, when it's all said.
No.
No, it doesn't say here exactly how it breaks down, but I'm telling you, it's not going to do much for 30 days.
No, yeah. Now, there was the judge did say, I thought, that she, one, she wasn't allowed to do the house arrest, and two, that she wasn't allowed to get out on early release. But then I also heard that it's really not up to the judge.
No, it's
she
not.
Can say that, but it might not make any difference.
No, she can make all the recommendations she wants.
Yeah.
But the amount of time that they are releasing nonviolent offenders, especially with small sentences like that, it comes down to the prison board. It doesn't really come down to the judges.
So 20 minutes is what we're saying.
I'm telling you, it's not going to be long. But she does need to complete 12 days of work at the Los Angeles County Morgue. That's part of the deal, which he's already apparently committed to and is doing a pretty good job there. The Los Angeles, the court also said she needs 4 psychotherapy sessions by December the 14th.
Make that a TV show. Now yeah. I'm interested.
Get Dr. Drew in there. He's got some time, doesn't he? Can he squeeze her in between shows?
Sure.
Then she's got to repeat that cycle every month until her sentence is completed by March 29th. So she needs more psychotherapy sessions. For a month until March 29th of next year, or she heads behind bars for 270 more days.
That's what we're all hoping for.
The judge said to Lindsay, you hold the keys to the jail cell. So in other words, it's up to you whether you complete this sentence or not, and what happens to you in March. She also suggested that she quits tweeting about her community service.
Doesn't happen unless you tweet it, Ralph. Come on, it's not real.
Yeah. It says here at the bottom of the story that sheriff's sources say she'll probably wind up serving 6 days out of her 30.
Why, she's not really sweating it at all.
Yeah. I'm just glad that in the few hours between jail sentences, she was able to squeeze in a Playboy shoot. That's what I'm pleased about.
Well, she did that last weekend before she went in. So she's good. But she did squeeze it in amongst her morguery.
Her
mortation.
Ooh, whatever, so sexy.
Yeah, she went from the morgue, but then she also went to the Playboy Halloween party as well, where she was dressed as a sexy French maid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You think French women dress up as sexy American maids?
I doubt it.
Over there? You were there. You were just there, being in France. Yeah. Did you see any sexy American maids?
I did not.
Anyone dressed like Alice from the Brady Bunch? Or you know, Florence from the Jeffersons?
Strangely, those are the hottest maids I can think of, too. Strangely, although I'm partial to Hazel.
Hazel.
Halloween is just now starting to grow in Europe. It's not a big deal at all.
Really?
I never thought it was a thing in Europe at all.
It is now becoming, because of the huge economic impact in America, Europe has looked at it and said, hey, there's money to be made in making Halloween a bigger deal. So every year they push it a little bit more, and you're starting to see people dress up and do some of the things we're familiar with here. But it's so far, it's not a big deal over there.
TV news. MTV has announced when the season premiere of the next Jersey Shore
will be premiering. Kidding?
January 5th.
Oh, what? That's a little bit of a break.
We are right around the corner.
What kind of break? It's about a couple of months. It's practically Christmas.
It's a Kardashian. That's a Kardashian from now.
What's a Kardashian? Is that a new measurement of time or something?
Yes. Yes. Weird Al suggested that a Kardashian is 72 days. So roughly 9 weeks is a Kardashian, which is great because we haven't had anything to roughly represent 2 months in our language.
I got you.
So, yeah, January 5th is about a Kardashian from now.
Jersey Shore will premiere on January 5th. And this season, of course, the gang will be back down in Seaside Heights, New Jersey, so you can check them out there. And bad news for that Tim Allen show, the new Tim Allen show in Last Man Standing.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, Lisa, you better hurry up.
Why?
Really?
Because the show keeps sliding downwards in the ratings. The first show pulled in 13 million viewers. The latest show had 9 million viewers. It's about three-quarters of its initial audience, and indicators saying that it may be bleeding out when it comes to audience members, so who knows what's going to happen. Meanwhile, across the dial, NCIS over in CBS, the same time slot, was pulling in 19 million viewers.
Wow.
In comparison, it's not looking good. I feel bad, too, because Tim Allen is stretching here in this show, The Last Man Standing. Apparently, he plays a macho-type guy who has a hard time dealing with the women in his life and dealing with family life when he is going, So, it's a brand new Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Tim Allen.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress, comedian, Roseanne Barr is 59 years old today. Roseanne, by the way, getting another TV show.
Oh, thank God.
a sitcom where she will apparently play a white trash housewife.
Huh.
Really?
Everyone is really stretching, and I'm happy to see that. Yeah. A trailer park. Apparently, it's going to take place in a trailer park.
She was going to be a nut farmer.
She was a nut farmer.
That's done.
That
show's off.
That show's canceled. Yeah. Now she's going back to a sitcom where she will play a white trash housewife in a trailer park.
That's not good.
Why are the 90s back? What's up?
I hate the 90s. Roseanne Barr is 59 years old today. Comedian Dennis Miller is 58. Adamant! Say you're Adamant!
Adamant.
Oh, we're going to have to get some Don't Drink, Don't Smoke loaded up.
What do you do?
sudden innuendos. 57 years old today. Dolph Lundgren. Drago!
I will break you.
He's 54 years old today. Rapper and actor Sticky Fingers. He's 38 years old. Rise Against singer Tim Mikelrath. McIlrath? McElrath?
Whatever.
McElrath? McElrath? He's 33 years old today. And Kendall Jenner, the next generation of Kardashians that are coming up. These are the kids that Bruce and Chris had together. She is 16 years old today. Everyone talks about how hot she is. She's okay. She's fine. Happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I have come to the conclusion that losing weight is easy, and we'll talk about that coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, huge news yesterday. K-Rock presents GV30, Golden Voice. Lisa, you know Golden Voice, our friends, the concert promoters that put on Coachella and all the
Absolutely.
Great shows throughout the year in Southern California.
Yeah.
They are legends. Well, they've been around for 30 years, and they are going to do a three-night stand of concerts in December, including Social Distortion, X, The Adolescents, Bad Religion, Youth Brigade, TSOL, The Descendants, The Vandals, and The Dickies. That's over three nights, December 16, 17, 18, at Santa Monica Civic Center. It's been a long time since I've seen a lineup like that.
That is awesome.
Anyway, it's going to be an unbelievable celebration of 30 years of Golden Voice. So if you're a punk fan, get on over to krock.com and check out all the details. It is 6:09. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I just wish Beer Mug would spend more time at night retweeting things that people tweet to him.
That'd
Ralph.
Be great.
I'd love to know useful. What Beer Mug's fans think about him.
First of all, bad on you for following Beer Mug on Twitter.
I agree.
What the
You're
hell
right.
are you thinking?
Hey, come on. I'm right You're here, right. guys.
Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. We'll talk all things McRib coming up next hour. Also, our friend Petrus Papadakis is going to be here, and the actors John Cho and Cal Penn. Yeah, they're Harold and Kumar. They're going to be coming up on today's show, too. All right, Ralph, I can't remember the last time I saw you in person. You got a new policy now where you find a way to be out of town whenever I'm in town?
That's my new contract, yes.
I was at the Weenie Roast at the beginning of summer, and you weren't there this year.
No.
I was down for Coldplay a few weeks ago, and you conveniently, that was one of a couple of days that you were out off doing the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't remember the last time I saw you in person.
Right.
But when I did, I probably weighed 262 pounds.
Holy smoly.
You did?
And 262?
Yeah, that's those baggy shirts he wears. You can't tell.
I know that may surprise people who have met me, but I am also a little over 6'6".
Yes.
So I have a little bit more leeway than most people to gain weight. And I've never been on a diet before in my entire life. But, you know, you add 5 pounds a year or so. You live enough years, eventually it's going to, you know, it's going to add up. It's going to be
262. Are you 100? How many years have you lived? 5 pounds a year.
By the way, I don't know anything about body weight or image or anything. I don't even think I was fat at 262. I definitely could lose some weight, but it's not like you would see. When you guys saw me,
no.
Lisa, you didn't think I was fat, did you?
You weren't a fat guy.
No.
I wasn't thin.
What pant size were you wearing?
40s. 40s, but they were a little bit loose.
40 is a pretty good waist size.
40, yeah. But they were a little bit loose.
Yeah, but 40s
fat.
Pushing it.
Fat.
Yeah.
Fat.
So anyway, so the reason I bring all this up is to say this. So I thought, well, you know, I'm getting older, and it's not going to get any better, and I don't want to end up being one of these 300-pound guys, and that's clearly the direction I would be headed.
It'd be so cool if you did.
So I said, I think for the first time ever in my life, and I mean ever, I'm going to start watching what I eat and pay attention and try to lose a few pounds, right?
Right.
So that's what I did. I mean, I didn't go to a doctor. I didn't join a gym. I didn't do anything. I just started watching what I was eating. The first and most important thing I think I did was I stopped drinking sugared sodas because I'm a big fan of the 7-Eleven Big Gulp, as you know. And there's a lot of calories in drinking that.
Yes.
So I stopped drinking that. And then I stopped eating crazy stuff. I just cut out the crazy stuff. I'm the guy, you remember, who came in after he bought and ate an entire bag of Oreos.
Yes.
Okay, that was me. I'm that guy, right? So I stopped doing that. I started eating reasonable portions of reasonable food, and I started losing weight. And for the first time in my life, by the way, I started weighing myself. So after about the first 3 weeks or so, I said, well, I'll see if I'm down a couple of pounds. I got on the scale. I'd lost like 11 pounds after like the first 3 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Another month goes by, another 10 pounds. Another month goes by, another 15 pounds. So before I left on vacation a couple of weeks ago, I weighed myself 217.
217?
That's really impressive.
Now, that's 45 pounds from 262. I started in the middle of June, and this was the end of October, okay? Now, the reason I bring all this up, not that anyone cares about me or my weight, is it occurred to me after I lost 45 pounds in 4 months that there's a billion-dollar industry out there around people trying to lose weight.
Yes.
Around exercise programs, around doctors, around diets, around, you know, all these programs, these Weight Watchers and these Jenny Craigs and all these crazy things and all these personal trainers, all these people go to. I didn't exercise. I didn't join a program. I didn't do anything except just make reasonable decisions. I got the same amount of exercise I always do, which is just walking dogs a few times a week, which is not, you know, exertion. So I'm here to blow the lid off the whining and bitching that I've been hearing about my entire life from people who insist that losing weight is hard and it can't be done.
Oh, yeah, that's what you're here for, to blow the lid off.
Yes. My conclusion is it's not hard to lose weight.
Well,
just don't eat lots of crappy things and you'll lose weight.
Here we go.
I mean, how often have you heard people complain about the struggle? Oh, that last 10 pounds. Oh, I can't lose it. Oh,
yes.
I lose 15 pounds, but then I put it right back on. Blah, 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 blah.
Listen, douchebag.
Why am I a douchebag?
Because
oh my God.
You obviously don't understand how the world works. You're familiar with the phrase, your results may vary? Just because you had this experience has nothing to do with how difficult it is for people to lose weight.
But it wasn't hard at all.
Bean, do you understand that two people can eat the exact same food and one person will gain weight, one person will lose weight, and one person will stay exactly the same?
Your results may vary.
The exact same food.
Well, stop it.
Your well, results don't may do- vary.
Okay, then let me put it this way. I lost 45 pounds in 4 months. Okay.
Congratulations,
so let's
but
say
why can't it just be about that? Why is it now you have to extrapolate it to other people or losers?
Because let's say even if I'm not the greatest weight loss guy in the world, that somebody else should be able to lose 20 pounds in 4 months. That's even then I'm twice as good at losing weight as they
listen,
are.
Listen, you tremendous
yeah, people
douchebag.
People make it sound like, oh my God, it would take me 10 years to lose 20 pounds. Not that hard. Stop eating crappy stuff. I'm now officially tired of hearing people complain that it's hard to lose weight. That's what I'm telling you. That's my point.
Bean's tired of hearing someone talk. Can you imagine?
Every time I see freaking Carrie Fisher come on my TV talking about Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or whichever one she does, I think, so what? Not hard. You know what I didn't have to do? Get little meals come to me in the mail every day so that I knew how much portion control I should eat.
Well, first of all, you were eating like a freak to begin with. You're eating entire bags of Oreos and drinking giant bottles of sugary soda. You were eating ridiculous amounts of food that led you to your weight gain. So for you just to cut back eating like a lunatic and you drop the weight, a lot of people don't eat like you do or were eating that caused and yet still have weight problems. So do you say just stop eating what you're eating? Some people are eating regular normal meals or regular portions, and because of their body chemistry, they are still having weight problems.
I don't buy it. They're just whining and complaining.
It's not for you to buy or not buy. It's the truth.
If I ate the way you ate, I would be 500 pounds.
And listen, if she ate that way and then suddenly stopped eating that way, she too would drop a significant amount of weight. You were eating an enormous amount of calories that led to your slight weight gain because of your frame and your body type and everything. You didn't gain as much as someone else would. But you were eating ridiculous amounts of food, so it was easy for you to cut back on those things.
What I'm saying is that it's time for people to come out of the closet, and by that I mean expose to the world that it's not that hard to lose weight. And I bet we have people out there who have done the exact same thing, which is just, hey, little bit of exercise, little less food. That's the formula. It's not that difficult. It doesn't have to be a billion-dollar industry to make people think it's hard. It's not. Be the asshole. I'd like to hear from my people who will join me on this crusade to get
there
people
no,
to quit whining
no
about losing weight. I have people. I guarantee there are people out there who agree with me that they're sick and tired of hearing people complain, mostly ladies, by the way, complain about how hard it is to lose weight, because it's just not.
Listen, it's just especially not hard. Harder for women because of the hormonal makeup and the differences between men and women and their metabolism. Bodies are conditioned to hold on to calories and to store body fat more so than men's due to estrogen versus testosterone. There's a lot of reasons why it's harder for women to lose weight than men.
I reject that.
It's not for you to reject. It's science.
I'm saying it's not true. I'm saying it's easy to lose weight and people should quit bitching about it. Don't you agree? 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up. World famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Kevin and Bean Show blowing the lid off the weight loss scam industry here today on the show.
That's the real name of the segment.
Feels really good, by the way. It's kind of nice to get it out there. You know, no doctor's visits, no gyms, no supplements, none of that. Just watching like what I eat for a couple
of months. You are
not
the norm. I'm trying to tell you this.
This is what I would like to point out. If most people had been eating the way Bean's been eating his whole life, they'd be a diabetic.
That's right.
The amount of sugar that he's been ingesting every day with cookies and soda, most people would actually have diabetes by now. His blood pressure has always been low. He doesn't exercise.
Yeah. He's an anomaly.
He is a freak of nature.
Yes.
We're going to write to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. First, Kent says, I totally side with you, Bean. Weight loss equals eating less than you burn or burning more than you eat, effing period. Put a fat ass on an island where they have to work for food. In 6 months, they're back to normal size. Look at Survivor. Every one of those guys loses a ton of weight every single season.
Yeah, because they're starving. If you want to starve, you'll lose weight if you have no food.
But these people who you hear complain for years about how they're trying to lose weight,
yes.
If they just sucked it up for a couple of months,
no,
they could lose the weight.
No, that's not how it works.
Go on an 800-calorie diet and tell me how that feels, because that's what some people have to do to lose weight.
Let's talk to Will. He's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Will. What's going on, dude?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Lisa?
Hi.
Yeah, I lost 25 pounds in about 5 months from just coming back on eating healthier, cut off sugar, just walking a little more around the block.
Really? Not hard at all, right?
pretty easy. It's
what do you weigh now, Will?
I was 160, and I'm down to 135.
What do you say to all the fat asses who complain year after year that they can't lose 10 pounds?
Walk more and eat healthier. Quit eating junk food.
Walk more, quit eating junk food. What about the people who don't eat junk food and yet still have weight problems?
I'll just walk a little more.
Just what?
They need to walk more.
They need to walk more. Okay. Well, sure. Well,
imagine if someone had just thought of that before,
then everyone would be okay.
Imagine how far away from your house you'll end up if you walk as much as Will says.
You don't even do that much exercise. You walk the dogs a couple times a week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, most people can't get away with that. That's not a significant amount of exercise for the average person to lose a significant amount of weight. You are an anomaly.
I beg to differ. I just saw it in my own life. Let's try Paul, line one. Paul, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
How's it going, guys? I was a fatty at 255, and since June 1st, I started eating more fruit. I was eating every 2 hours and smaller meals, and I lost 55 pounds so far.
55 pounds. Doesn't sound like it was that much of an effort for you. I mean, you had to concentrate. It had to be something that you made a priority, but you were able to do it because you wanted to, right?
Right. First week, just changing my diet, I lost 5 pounds. So,
what were you eating before?
Pretty much just like everything. I was drinking soda, junk food, and I quit a lot of that. And now.
Yeah, well, if that's the source of your weight problem, if you're drinking a ton of sugary soda and you're eating a ton of junk food and you cut those things out, if that is the source of your weight gain, then naturally, yes, that will happen. But there are a lot of people who don't eat those things. They eat a normal diet, a regular diet, and they still have weight problems due to hormonal imbalances and other physical problems.
But I think a lot of those people are still like eating potato chips and stuff like that and just pretending that they're on a diet and they're not just because
they're pretending.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Paul, thanks for the call.
So everyone who's fat is pretending that they're fat.
Everyone who's fat should stop it. That's what I'm saying. Allie writes in, hey, Bean, I totally agree with you. I've been an athlete all my life and a personal trainer. I never stopped working out intensely, but I still gained weight when I moved out of my parents' house. Finally, I made up my mind to just lose the weight, and I lost 25 pounds by just writing down everything I ate and monitoring my calories. It was so easy, it makes me just want to shake people with their thousands of excuses. It's not that hard. There's no magic pill, just a magic formula. Calories out, greater than calories in. It doesn't get more simple than that. Love you guys, Allie.
Listen, whatever someone's individual experience is has nothing to do with the overall experience that people have with weight gain. It is as individual as any other health issue.
But how many individual experiences in a row do you need to hear from people who have had the exact same experience I have, though?
Let's take calls from people who have flipped a coin and it came up heads, okay? And then we'll talk to other people who flipped a coin and it came up tails. How many individual coin flips do you have to say everyone should come up heads?
I'm just saying if you talk to thousands of people who are able to do it, I think that speaks to the thousands of other people that aren't trying very hard.
Well, let's talk to Mike on line three. Let's talk to him and see what his life has been like.
All right. Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hey,
good. What's your story, Mike?
Hey, don't come on to Lisa May like that if you're a fat ass.
I'm not a fat ass. So I actually exercise. I run like 3 miles every other day or so, and I try to watch what I eat.
Right.
I don't drop any weight. I pretty much stay the same weight.
Oh, look at that. Oh, well, that's Mike's experience. So everybody must be like Mike then, Bean. You're wrong and he's right.
No, Mike is just a freak show. That's all. Mike is just a weirdo. Mike isn't normal like the rest of us.
And by the way, for women in general, it's much harder to lose weight. We don't have the muscle mass that men do, which is how you easily burn more calories. So,
Bean doesn't have the muscle mass that man has either, so don't use that as an excuse,
Lisa.
But he is
6'6".
Yeah, that helps.
With giant legs.
Yes. Think of the energy it keeps just to keep his legs moving. Just to keep his giant body moving, he must burn a certain amount of calories.
Let's talk to Chris. He's on line four. We're almost out of time here. 1-800-520-1067 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
I lost 110 pounds just by exercising and eating right.
Yeah, so but if you had 110 pounds lose, that means you were an enormous fat ass.
Which means you had more
weight to lose. Ask anybody. The more overweight you are, the easier it is to lose that initial amount of weight at first.
Yeah, the first 50 pounds on the Biggest Losers, like, boom,
yeah, that comes
like
right
that.
Off.
Well, sure, but the first 40 pounds came off easy, but after that, you know.
Yeah, but after that, he lost another 70 pounds. So what do you say to the people who are out there who say, oh, I have 20 pounds that I've been overweight for 20 years and I can't lose it?
What
do you say to them?
I would like to check back with Chris in 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
and I hope that
since that's happened, I've kept it all off.
I think that's awesome, Chris.
But you're still ugly, and that will never change.
All right, look. Thank you very much for the call. Here's my point: fat people, stop it. That's my point. That's what I'm saying. That's the message I'm trying to bring to you today. Okay.
What's our point, Ralph?
Our point is this.
And KROQ coming up right after the top of the hour. We're going to talk about the McRib.
McRibs are yummy. So yummy. They're so yummy. McRibs are yummy. Who wants a McRib? I want a McRib. Who wants a McRib?
Yeah.
Apparently, Dave has enough time in his life to compose love songs to food on his Songify iPhone app. I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Well, it's official. The producers of the 23rd James Bond movie had a press conference just moments ago, and they've announced that Skyfall is the official title of the 23rd James Bond movie.
Okay.
Skyfall. It's the sky. And it falls from the sky. And it is a sky.
Now, we're long past Ian Fleming books and short stories and titles, right? They're just making new stuff up about the James Bond franchise?
No, there are still some short stories that have yet to be exploited in terms of their titles. I don't believe Skyfall is one of them, however.
Okay.
I may be wrong. I'll have to do some research on that. But they brought out the entire cast and introduced them to the press. Daniel Craig was there, of course. Javier Bardem, who is the bad guy in this film. Judi Dench will return as M. Bond girl Naomi Harris, who you may remember from Pirates of the Caribbean. She played the voodoo queen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's in it. And there's Bernice Merlot. She will be the Bond girl as well. Albert Finney has been added to the cast. Ralph Fiennes will also be in this cast. So it's an excellent cast, and they
we're
go
just
into
glad
production.
They're making another movie, right? Yeah. I mean, for a while there, it looked like this thing was on hold forever.
Yeah, United Artists and Sony, who own the franchise, were in some financial disarray, but they've got their act together, and now we got a new Bond movie in production as we speak. So congratulations to everybody. Well, a lot of people talk about Kim Kardashian in the wake of the divorce, but what about
you talk about who, Ralph?
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Thank you,
but. What about Chris Humphries? What about this poor bastard? NBA lockout? He's not earning on the court? How's he going to make a living? Well, that may all be over. Chippendales in Las Vegas has offered him a gig as their celebrity MC. I don't think he's even out to get naked. He just has to be out there and just hold a microphone and introduce the other fellas.
Huh. Which celebrity does he know that he can bring?
How dare you, sir? He's Chris Humphries. He's America's Chris Humphries.
Oh, that's right.
And if that's not enough, another website has offered him a job. LocalHotClassifieds.com has asked Chris to be their new spokesperson and has offered to match the salary he was making on Keeping Up with the Kardashians if he would promote their dating site. So he's got some opportunities, got some irons in the fire.
But Ralph, didn't he make, I don't know, $7 million on the wedding?
Yeah, Lisa. So what? How long do you think that's going to last?
I don't know.
$7 million? No, you burn through like that. With all the bling and all the bub. And all the Hennessy and stuff. You know, it's hard to keep up that lifestyle. You don't know. You don't know, man. Kelly Osbourne was talking to the British version of Glamour magazine, doing an interview about the troubles of her love life. And she said it's hard when your significant other cheats on you. It's even worse, she claims, when it's with a member of the same sex.
Oh, my. What happened?
Kelly Osbourne's ex-fiancé, Luke Worrell, they very publicly split up. And now we're finding out it was because Luke was having an affair with a transsexual that had not made the switch, let's say, from male to female. Mm-hmm. So it was a pre-op transsexual. This was a woman on the inside, but on the outside, there were twigs and berries.
Gotcha. Understood.
See? And she said everyone warned her about his wandering eye, but she never believed the rumors and had no idea that he would have an affair with a transsexual, and that's what made her feel even worse about the relationship.
We've talked about this on the show before, and I think it was Lisa who said that it would be easier to lose your significant other to a member of the same sex because that's not on you. There's nothing you can do about that.
Can't compete there.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The only thing that's really upsetting about that is you're like, wow, I don't see the signs.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary.
Well, in this particular case, Luke likes women for the most part, obviously, but there are some parts that he likes from men. So it's, you know, Kelly doesn't have the equipment.
Right.
Is meat on the menu this week?
That he was interested in, as far as we know. I mean, I've never seen that region of her, but I'm assuming she probably doesn't have a penis.
Probably. Yeah, I don't think that's been alleged or rumored at all.
I don't think Jack has a penis either. I mean, that's besides the point. It has nothing to do with me. Gisele Bündchen.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is talking about her life with her kids and her wife, Tom Brady.
I didn't know that you could lesbians could marry in
Massachusetts. Yeah, apparently you can. Here's what she has to say about her life. Her quarterback husband is a gentle giant, she claims. They live such a healthy lifestyle that her kids think broccoli is a dessert, she claims. Oh, F you. No. F you. She and Tom never drink alcohol. And she only eats red meat once or twice a month. She allows herself that extravagance. Mm-hmm. But she prays before she eats it. I always take 1 second of silence and put my hands over it and bless it and be grateful that at least it was a life. I want to take a flamethrower to this whole family. She prays over the red meat before she eats it. Oh, can you imagine the price Tom Brady pays being married to her? Oh, I'm exhausted just hearing her talk. I can't imagine what it's like to live with her.
5 minutes a day, though. It's worth it.
Man. Kate Gosselin's got a new job.
Great.
We're all concerned that she was going to have to leave show business forever and get a real job, but it's not the case. She has got a new gig, writing a column for couponcabin.com.
The very hot couponcabin.com. Yes,
she is writing a couponing blog.
You know,
for couponcabin.com.
I was thinking about renewing my subscription to that blog. I think I will now.
Oh, it's the greatest website ever, Coupon Cabin. Open up the door to the coupon cabin. Come on in. Sit down and spell, they say.
Is it extreme couponing?
No, it's just regular coupon cabin.
I see.
Yeah. So congratulations, Kate. I'm glad to see that your talents are being recognized by the world of couponing. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress, comedian Roseanne Barr is 59 years old today. Comedian Dennis Miller celebrates his 58th birthday. Dolph Lundgren, Drago famously from Rocky IV. But also, let's not forget, he was a master of the universe too. He was He-Man. In the original Masters of the Universe movie. 54 years old today. Rapper and actor Sticky Fingers is 38. Model Kendall Jenner of the Kardashian clan is 16 years old today. And legendary 80s singer Adam Ant celebrates his 57th birthday today. Don't drink, don't smoke. What do he do?
A few years ago, we had Adam Ant come out, if you'll recall, Ralph, on Acoustic Christmas. And, you know, a lot of people are like, Adam Ant, really? Blew the roof off the sucker. Remember how great he was?
I do not recall that, sir.
Well, maybe it was before your time.
It may have been before my time. I don't think it was a few years ago. I think it may have been more than a few years
ago.
Well,
I'm saying it was a while now.
Because as far as distance. I know, last time I checked with Adam Ant, he was committed.
Yes, he's out now. He's out much better now.
He's out of the asylum.
But he did a tremendous performance at a K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas concert, and I think won over a whole generation of new fans that year.
Sure, not thinking of Billy Idol.
No, Adam Ant.
Okay, all right. I wasn't here in the 80s, Bean, so I'm not sure if that was the case or not. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Cal Penn and John Cho, they are Harold and Kumar, of course, joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Petros Papadakis will be here too. But first.
So I've got to tell you, I had a pretty crappy day today. My girlfriend dumped me, I failed my exam, and I found out I had cancer. But do you know what makes it all better? The McRib is back, baby!
Okay, the McRib, this is once again the summer of the McRib. The fascination into the fall. The fascination continues. Every time the McRib comes back, it's like a new Harry Potter movie. The world is just on fire with excitement over, and Dave, you're the king of the McRib. I can't get my head around how excited you get every time the McRib comes back. What's up?
I love the McRib. It's so tasty. And you don't understand. It's not always on the menu. So when it's here, you got to eat as many as you can.
Is the McRib the best thing McDonald's sells?
That's tough to say because the chicken nuggets are really good. But
okay. The reason I ask is because the chicken McNuggets are on the menu every single day and they're better than the McRib, yet you still practically have an orgasm when the McRib is reintroduced. I don't get it.
Because of the barbecue sauce, man. The barbecue sauce is
You're
awesome,
addicted?
And it's just a little different than the normal barbecue sauce, so you got to get it while you can.
Let me hear another one of Dave's tribute songs, please, that he created on his phone to the McRib.
Who wants a McRib? I want a McRib. I want a McRib because they're so yummy. They're so yummy. I want a McRib. I want a McRib because they're so yummy.
Okay, I don't understand that level of devotion to a pork product, but I do know that I have a lot of questions about the magical, mysterious, and wonderful McRib, and we asked a friend of ours who is an actual McDonald's franchise owner and operator, Carol, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Carol. How are you, my dear?
Good morning. How are you, Bean? Thanks for having us collectively on the air.
Oh, we're happy to. Look, we all love McDonald's. How can we not? And one day we're going to have you back on, you know, maybe on your deathbed, you'll reveal the secret of why McDonald's french fries are the greatest food ever created in the history of Earth.
I'm going to have to find that secret out first before I get there.
Yeah, I'm sure they keep it from you, too. But right now, let's talk about the McRib. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say that Dave is just one of several people that I know that their heads exploded when they realized the McRib was back. What's the deal? How long has it been in stores available this time around, Carol?
Well, this time around, it's limited, as you know. So it's been in for 3 weeks. But the real test of the McRib is that you can keep bringing it back, and people are, like, voracious about it at the beginning, and then they, you know, eat it and eat it and eat it. And these are the hardcore cult fans, literally mm-hmm. cult fans. And then it kind of drops off, and the normal people don't, you know, want it that often. And so we take it out, and then it makes people want it more.
Yeah. Is there any other kind of food item in a popular restaurant chain that is handled the way McRib is, where it's on the menu and then it's gone for a while and then it comes back?
You know, I can't really answer that about the other fast foods, but or any other restaurant. But we don't have another item like that. We have had this on the menu since 1981, and it used to be nationwide, and we bring it back nationwide now because it is such a cult thing. But we don't have anything else, and it is just that kind of silliness of, you know, the ribless rib sandwich. It's just a thing, and it truly is really yummy.
Okay, you brought up a great point. You brought up a great point. Yeah, and I know Dave loves the barbecue sauce. Why? There's no rib in it, yet it's shaped like a rib. How come?
Well, you know, we press it that way. But, you know, I mean, you form a hamburger patty, right?
We're
just
right.
Forming a McRib patty. But that's part of the whole kind of intrigue. And I think that's what started the whole cult thing, aside from the barbecue sauce. But it's just such a kind of a silly thing, right?
I mean, as someone who owns McDonald's franchises, do you see a notable uptick in visitors to the restaurants when the McRib is on the menu?
We love it. We love it. It is huge, and we voted in when it comes around. It's because the local operators voted in altogether. So we love having it in because it's great, but it has its life because we have all those people, and they're in. I mean, it is a huge uptick. Last year's $1 million Monopoly winner won his $1 million by buying a McRib. His sticker was on the McRib.
What's the contest that's going on right now with McDonald's? The quest for the golden McRib. I don't even understand what that's about.
You know what? I don't either.
Oh, no. And you are McDonald's.
And
what?
I am McDonald's, yes.
Dave, do you know it's some sort of an online game? What are you looking for?
I have no idea.
You don't play the game either.
Yeah,
you just go for the.
I don't care about the golden McRib. I just want as many as I can in my belly.
Carol.
All right, now, let me ask you that then, Carol. What about the? Excuse me, Lisa. One second. What about the people? Can people buy McRibs in advance and then freeze them and eat them in the lean times when they aren't available in the stores?
I guess you could, but really, the bun, the McRib would probably last. Really, but you'd have to get a fresh bun somewhere, and it's not the same without all the thing, you know.
Yeah,
same bun.
Yeah.
But you could probably do it, but you'd get that sauce. You know what? You got to wait until it comes. But it's in the United States somewhere most of the time, and there are people that actually follow the McRib around the
United
States.
Oh, my God.
That's a little too much time on their hands, right? But
Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I was just wondering, historically, once it's in your store, how long is it there?
We usually have it between 4 and 6 weeks.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
About the life of what we can do. We have a lot of different products, and we have to have a certain amount of products move in order to keep them. Mm-hmm. And the McRib is like giant. If we could keep it like that all the time, it'd be great. And after a while, though, all the McRib nuts, they, you know, eat and eat and eat, and then it's like, okay, had that.
They've had their fail.
All right. Yep. When is it likely to go away this time around so that people can make their dining plans, Carol?
Ooh. See, we don't give that out. It's a limited time. Come on in. Come on in and get your fill because it's not here forever.
Well, I know it better last through Thanksgiving because I don't want to eat turkey. I want to eat the McRib.
Don't count on that.
Whoa, that's a hint, Dave. Don't count on it making it to the end of the month.
I don't want stupid turkey. I want a McRib.
There's a Facebook page for fans of the McRib. I mean, like you said, it really is a cult thing. It's crazy to hear you say, Carol, that there are people who fly around the country to eat McRibs because they're not available where they live.
Yeah.
Let's hear one more of Dave's
Twitter.
Little... And Twitter fans, too. Let's hear one of Dave's final little song that he made on Songify about his love for the McRib.
Who wants a McRib? I want a McRib. I want a McRib because they're so yummy. They're so yummy. McRibs are yummy. I want a McRib. I want a McRib because they're so yummy. They're so yummy. McRibs are yummy. Who wants a McRib?
Available for a limited time at McDonald's restaurants nationwide. Carol, great to catch up with you. Congratulations on the success. And seriously, find out that recipe for the fries because I got to know before I die. All right. Thanks a lot, dear. Talk to you soon. Petros Papadakis talks about college football, number one versus number two, coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in on the world-famous K-Rock. Ralph was talking earlier about Tim Allen being back on TV. Roseanne Barr is getting ready to have a new show. It's like the return of the 90s. I did not expect, however, to see the return of Beavis and Butthead. I don't know about you, Lisa. I was not a Beavis and Butthead fan, but apparently everybody else on the show was at the time that it used to be popular.
I am just like you. I do not understand it, but I am surrounded with fans.
Yes. It has been gone for 13 years. It returned last week to big, big numbers on MTV. Of course, they don't show videos on MTV anymore, which is what Beavis and Butthead used to talk about. Now they do, they talk about pop culture stuff. For instance, a little bit of the Beavis and Butthead from last week talking about Twilight.
Well, this isn't very good. Is Bella a zombie? Zoe's just like standing there with her mouth open and she acts like she's dead.
Shh, quiet.
Sorry.
Maybe we do need Beavis and Butthead. Actually, that's a pretty good point. And then I guess they decide they want to get bit by a werewolf and they get bit by some homeless guy and that goes badly.
Who knew?
So,
and
like,
that goes badly.
How do you become a vampire?
Yeah.
Butthole.
And then Jersey Shore in the crosshairs of Beavis and Butthead.
Grandma J-Well, where did you get syphilis?
Yeah, tell us that story, bitch.
So, Thursday nights on MTV, Beavis and Butthead airs, and they join us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Beavis and Butthead, what's up, you guys?
Bean. Like bean bags. Shut up, Beavis. On the radio.
Right.
Hi, Bean Jack.
Beavis and Butthead, I couldn't be more surprised. Honestly, you were one of the last shows I ever thought would come back. What have you been doing for 13 years?
Just sitting on the couch waiting for a phone call.
Yeah, phone text.
Shut up, Beavis.
And do you guys, no jobs, no leading the house, no girls, just watching TV? That's your whole life?
Sometimes we get money for donating our blood.
Is it still Metallica and what, AC/DC on the t-shirts, or upgraded to something new?
Rock out.
Shut up, David. This is an alternative station. They listen to Mumford.
Mumford and Sons.
No, you go.
This is the whole show. It's you guys just sitting on the couch just...
Have you ever seen the program?
Things about things.
I've
seen bits and pieces, maybe on the VMAs or something. But I don't get you guys and your humor, to be honest.
Sorry, Grandpa. What if we do the Prairie Home Companion?
Yeah, wow, yeah. Garrett's a killer.
Shut up, David. I hate that guy.
Yeah, me too.
Do you guys still blow stuff up? Is that something you're still into?
Yeah.
What? Now that you've tackled Twilight and Jersey Shore, what's next for you?
Ending this bit.
Doctors John Cho and Cal Penn will both be here next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, they are Harold and Kumar. Can't wait for that movie coming up on Friday. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Thursday right now. Petros Papadakis from the very popular Petros and Money radio show joins us now. P, it's been a while since you've mentioned this on our show, but you were the captain of the worst USC football team in the school's history?
Yes, sir. That's correct. The only one ever to be last in the Pac-10. Thanks for bringing it up. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing fine, P. Always great to hear from you. I know we got just limited time with you here today, and I do want to start with USC because you've been in the situation where you've lost unbelievable, thrilling overtime games like that before where you feel like, man, for the lack of a few inches, we could have won this thing. How do you bounce back from something like that, like their loss against Stanford last week?
Well, most football teams, to be honest, have a 24-hour rule. And you're right. We have lost games like that, or we did when I was a football player at USC. And it's a hard deal, and it's a real emotional deal, and especially when it's a game that you thought you were going to win. But a 24-hour rule means you have 24 hours to either celebrate the victory or let the victory go. I mean, football is a sport because it's so brutal and because of the way that it has to be played and the violence involved. It's a sport that has to be played right in the moment. And when that moment is over, you got to move on because USC has a short week. I mean, they have a game in Colorado tomorrow. Now, Colorado's not that great, but you still have to focus up and get the game plan in and install it all and really get yourself together. And USC has not done that. I mean, Lane Kiffin was talking about the Stanford game and the injustice and all this crap. I mean, he was talking about this for a couple days. So all the way until Tuesday, actually, and he got fined by the Pac-12. So it's been a real muddled and weird situation after the Stanford game, and I don't really think it had to be that way.
Yeah, yeah. But the guys are, in general, the players, they're so busy focusing on this weekend that they don't really even have time, if they want to think about what happened last weekend, right?
I mean, you can be upset about it, and you can let it bother you, and you can watch the tape, and you can do the interviews with the media, but ultimately, you got to let it go. And,
right. You
know, look, Stanford is one of the best teams in the country. They might end up being the best team in the country. They have the best player in the country in that wacky, Muppet-sounding Andrew Luck, and he went down there, and ultimately it was Stanford's power that won the game. And they won a great game, probably the game of the year in college football. It was won by Stanford. If you're USC, you should celebrate the fact that you're playing the best football that you've played in the Lane Kiffin era, and they're headed clearly in the right direction. These guys are playing pretty well right now, and that's a good thing. But instead, all they did was complain the last few days and kind of tarnish the performance, I thought.
Now, we're still in that USC era that makes them ineligible for postseason, though, right? No matter how great a season they have, it's not going anywhere, right?
Well, yeah, and these guys don't necessarily play for a bowl game anyway. I think that's a bit of a misconception. If you go to USC and you're a starting football player, you're playing so you can put something on tape to play in the NFL. I mean, that's why you're playing week in and week out. A bowl game is great, and they give you a free sweatsuit. I mean, I played in the Sun Bowl, and we got a beautiful set of combs and blow dryers. I mean, you get all these you get these bowl gifts, but it's really not what everybody thinks it's going to be. USC is not bowl eligible this year, but they've not started losing scholarships yet. Those sanctions have not kicked in. So next year, USC will be bowl eligible, and that'll be all good, but they'll start losing 10 scholarships a year for the next 3 years. They have those sanctions to pay. Yeah, and they could really face some lean years unless Lane Kiffin really juggles it and does it correctly. And if Matt Barkley leaves and a couple other guys go to the NFL early, which I would expect them to, USC is going to have a rough 3 or 4 years coming up.
All right, speaking of lean years, when the radio thing falls apart, when money leaves you for something better or somebody hotter, and you're destitute and you're living in your two-bedroom apartment down there at the beach, are you going to get to the point where you sell those combs and blow dryer that you got from the Sugar Bowl? I mean, is that something you'll eBay, or how will that work?
Well, it was the Sun Bowl.
Sun Bowl, okay.
In El Paso, Texas. Second of all, I don't live on the beach. I live on the cliffs in San Pedro, which would probably prompt me to step off one of the cliffs. Yeah, I'll sell. If somebody wants my Sun Bowl blow dryers and combs, then yeah, I'm open to selling. But also, there was a watch involved, which I gave to my alcoholic uncle Alex. who died and I believe was buried with my Sun Bowl watch on. So you can't have that unless you want to exhume the body.
P has the best stories, doesn't he? All right. Is it rare this time of the season to see number one versus number two? Did it just work out? Was that just the luck of the BCS that we'll see LSU versus Alabama on Saturday?
I think it's something that happens every year. I mean, every year we have a game of the century in the SEC, and this year's game of the century is in Tuscaloosa on Saturday between the Tigers and the Crimson Tide, and one of the coaches is like crazy. The other one is the meanest man on the history of the face of the planet. So it'll be a good game, but yeah, I mean, this is it. This is supposed to be the big one, and it usually happens this way, though. Every year there's some giant matchup in the SEC that everybody has to pay attention to.
How much time do you get to watch other conferences? You're so busy in the Pac-12, as they call it now. Do you get it? I mean, have you been able to see the Tigers, for instance, play this year? Is there, you know, or Crimson Tide?
Yeah. You know, what you do is you TiVo games or DVR the games, and I watch while I'm catching up on the NFL on Sunday, because I do the show with Fred Rogan on Sunday nights on NBC. While I'm catching up, I periodically check in with different conferences through the DVR. Also, if I have a night game like I have this week in Seattle, Oregon, Washington, most of the day I'll be able to sit around and watch some of the games. So I am well-versed because I am a college football analyst. This is actually what I do for a living.
So the radio show for you, is that's your side job then?
No, the radio show is my job. That is what I do, but I am a college football analyst year-round, and that's sort of my job on the radio show. You know, Matt does fantasy football stuff. Matt does the NBA. He does all the lockout stuff and all the lawyer stuff and all the stuff that would require being a smart person.
Yeah, he does the smart stuff. You do the jock stuff. Right, I got you.
And I do the stuff where the guys, the big fat guys in plastic outfits, run into each other and try to knock each other's heads off.
All right, last question on the LSU-Alabama game. Is the deal that this is so important for them because, A, they're undefeated, obviously, they don't want to lose, but, B, this may be their only loss all year, so it has huge implications on what bowl they end up in?
Well, the team that wins is going to be in the driver's seat to be in the BCS championship game, and they're going to end up playing Oklahoma State or Stanford or one of these other undefeated teams, and there are people that are already – and this is the ridiculous thing about college football, but it also makes it kind of fun. There are already people arguing about who loses that game and whether or not they should still be in the championship game at the end of the year. So we haven't even played LSU-Alabama yet, and we already have idiot pundits arguing for the sake of the loser, and we don't even know who the loser is yet.
I love that. All right, P, last question. Are we hanging out this weekend when you come to Seattle?
Well, I thought you were in Europe.
No, that was last time you were here.
Yeah,
when you came
here.
When you came 2 weeks ago, I was leaving to get on a plane, but I'm back now. If you're here,
yeah.
I'm here, dude.
Well, I'm going to be up there in Pioneer Square. Maybe we can take the underground tour or something like that. I'll text you.
All right.
You know, I felt a little hurt. You know, last time I reached out and I got slapped down. I thought you might want to, you know, just cancel that vacation and come see me.
That would have been cancel my trip with my wife to Paris and hang out with the P. That would have been an excellent choice. I think that would have bode well for the rest of my marriage.
Well, we could have gone to the Pike Place Market.
All right. Well, it sounds like I'll see you this weekend. Let's definitely hook up, P, because I'm always excited when you come to Seattle.
I will shoot you a text. And is it going to? I mean, I've done three games. This is my fourth in Seattle this year. None of them, it has rained on me. So I figure probability says that, like, I'm going to be hit with a giant ball of hail and killed.
We are getting into that time of year where it is likely, yes. PetrosandMoney.com is the website. Follow them at Petros and Money on Twitter. And, of course, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 on AM 570 in Los Angeles. It's the Petros and Money Radio Show. Peace. See you this weekend, man. Thanks for coming on.
Did you guys hear a rumor? Is Matt really going to leave me or what?
Can't hear you. You're breaking up. Okay, bye. Hey, it's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. Then Harold and Kumar, John Cho, Cal Penn will both join us next hour here on the program as well. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Coldplay. Their new album, Zendada Menyada, is number one.
I think
on
it's
the,
Milo Zilato, isn't it?
What happened?
Milo Zilato, I think, is the Coldplay album. You're talking about a police album
from
the
80s. Sorry, I just got confused with the wacky title.
This one's Regatta de Blog. That's the new Coldplay.
That's right. Mr. Roboto. Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, their new album.
It.
Coldplay, number one.
on the Billboard 200 album chart. So congratulations to those guys.
Wait, they're a rock band, though. How are they number one?
Sheer accident, I'm sure. Someone mistook them for Jay-Z or something.
Maybe
somebody
saw Rihanna's name on that one song and said, oh, I'll buy this. Yeah. There's Rihanna on it.
Number one, Kelly Clarkson's Stronger was number two in its debut. Then Michael Bublé's new Christmas CD, very inventively entitled Christmas, number three on the charts. Adele's 21 was fourth, and Toby Keith, Clancy's Tavern, his new CD. Oh, come on. Tom Waits, Scott McCreery, Lady Antebellum, Tony Bennett, and Casting Crowns round out the top 10 best-selling albums in the country right now.
Highest chart position for Tom Waits in his entire career, which has got to be 40 years.
Well, with his beautiful and melodic voice, you could see why people would rush out to buy his CD.
Sure.
Only guy with no larynx who is a recording artist.
He's the guy, he's the same guy that's in the commercials that smokes out of the hole in his neck,
I believe,
right?
That is him, yes. So congratulations to Tom Waits. He's pleasant to listen to. If you really want to get the ladies in the mood, throw on your Tom Waits CD next time you have a girl over and she will just melt in your arms. Like being a tubercular ward. Congratulations to Lindsay Lohan. She's going to jail. Yesterday, she went up in front of the judge and admitted to violating her probation, so the judge took some pity on her. Only slapped her with 30 days in jail. But if she screws up again, 270 more days. That's what the judge threatened her with. The sheriff's department says she'll probably end up serving just 6 days out of that 30. But she still has to complete her community service. She has to do some psychotherapy sessions. And she's got to make sure that this time the sentence is completed by March the 29th or else big trouble.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but if this were you or I and we were being sent back to jail, wouldn't we make it the number one, perhaps only priority in our life to stay out of jail next time? Like to do everything the judge asked us to do in a timely fashion so that it didn't come down to going back in?
Stop acting like celebrities are people.
Well, I guess.
They're better than us and they deserve special, special treatment.
Okay.
She did find some time, however, to reshoot her Playboy layout.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. Turns out Playboy rejected her shoot.
You're kidding.
Saying it wasn't good enough for the magazine's upcoming January issue, which is where they want Lindsay to be.
Can't they just airbrush it?
I guess not enough. She's going to do another shoot today. A source tells E! News that Hef didn't care for the pictures and has brought in a new photographer to reshoot the entire session.
Hmm.
Was she not showing enough? Was that what it was?
Or nobody just, knows. Just... No one can get an answer. Was it? Did she not look good? Was it? Was there a problem with the photography?
Celebrities generally don't show that much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're going to see any gynecological shots.
Right.
But well, everyone is claiming this will be very tastefully done, Lisa. Regardless of what it is,
I hate that. So
that means lots of sheets.
That's what you
hate. Tasteful.
Right.
Larry Flint on the. In the case, that's who's going to help
Thick,
us.
Meaty, juicy.
Justin Bieber said he did not have sex with that woman.
Yeah.
He says he has no idea who she is. That woman being Mariah Yeager. She is the woman who claims she slept with Bieber after one of his concerts last year at the Staples Center here in Los Angeles.
You can't expect him to remember every woman he has sex with backstage at a concert. He's got hoes in all the area codes. You know that.
I do. 9 months after the sex, she claims she gave birth to his baby. Mariah's now filed a paternity suit. Justin tweeted yesterday, I'm going to ignore the rumors and focus on what is real. An opportunity to help by doing what I love. Judge me on the music. Love y'all.
How does that help me?
It does not help you. His music does not help anyone. I don't know if you've seen the photos they released yesterday on the internet of this Mariah Yeager. She is a rough 19.
Really?
Oh, not good. Man.
So not even worth it.
Not a plus. I was hoping. I said, okay, let me see
what
tempted the Biebs down the path of evil sexuality. He like apparently like, banged her in the corner of a hallway. That's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. That's what she's saying. And I looked and said, no.
Really? No Selena, huh?
No.
She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
She's not ugly. She's just rough. She looks road hard and put away wet for 19. Yeah, where's that dewy aspect that we like about
the youthful
teenage
glow
girls?
We like.
Exactly.
Right.
She looks roughed up. And this is good news. Apparently Bradley Cooper will not be playing the Napoleon Solo role in the upcoming Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie. They are bringing that series to the big screen.
Why is that good?
Steven Soderbergh is going to be directing, because I think Bradley Cooper is a little...
just too pretty?
He doesn't have the edge. He just doesn't have that quality. He doesn't have that joie de vivre.
Mm.
He doesn't have that cool factor for me. But actor Joel Edgerton is in talks now, apparently, to play Napoleon Solo. And he's cool. He's got a masculinity about him that I think would do well for the role.
No, I'd be against that.
You may not know who he is, but he's starring in the upcoming Great Gatsby movie. And he was most recently, I guess, in The Thing reboot, the prequel to that. He's a very, very good actor, and he's got a lot going on for him, so I'm hoping that'll happen. Now the bad news. Britney Spears wants to make another movie. Yeah.
Yikes.
She says she's dying to give acting another go. Well, after Crossroads, who can blame her? That was a critical and financial smash.
I
yeah, we know you went
with the king, right?
Yeah,
they had the king
they had a date.
Yeah,
they got it.
The Britney movie.
They shared a box of Jujubes and stood there holding hands and then played the popcorn trick on each other.
But not having said that, it was terrible. I'm not standing up for it. It was a horrible movie, and she has no business acting.
It was awful, and it only took in $61 million, and that was at the peak of her white hot fame. So another Britney Spears movie in the works. We'll have to see. Who gives her a shot. She said, I'd love to play a detective or an assassin.
Yes, please.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Please make her
a detective. Let's make her Sherlock Holmes. Let's take the franchise away from Robert Downey Jr. and give it to Britney Spears. I want to see her.
Oh, leave Britney alone.
I want to see her solving some crimes with the power of her mind.
That would be awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Roseanne Barr is 59 years old today. Dennis Miller celebrates his 58th. Adam Ant is 57. Dolph Lundgren from Rocky IV turns 54 years old today. And Kendall Jenner, the next generation of fame-whoring Kardashian.
No! No!
She's 16 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, light him if you got him, ladies and gentlemen. It's Harold and Kumar time.
Hello. You know, we've been having a pretty crazy night, too. We've just been driving around looking for White Castle, but we keep getting sidetracked.
Forget White Castle. Let's go get some
nuts. Neil, you don't understand. We've been craving these burgers all night.
Yeah, I've been craving burgers, too. Fur burgers.
Not a terrorist. He's just an idiot.
This is just a bomb.
He said he got a bomb!
Focus on the road. You've had dozens of shrooms.
Dude, I was able to perform an appendectomy at age 14. I think I can handle a couple mushrooms.
Isn't it just a TV show?
Jesus Christ!
Did you see that unicorn? Its horn was so shiny.
I don't smoke anymore.
What?
I just felt that a lot of times when I got high, things would go really wrong, so...
But Harold, weed is so good. Gets you high.
Well, how are you still alive?
What are you talking about?
We saw you get shot, remember?
In that whorehouse?
In Texas.
You branded a prostitute.
Remember?
You have to be more specific.
All right, here's what I'm saying. There's not a human alive who ever imagined there would be three Harold and Kumar movies. But here we are, ladies and gentlemen, a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas opens everywhere this Friday because, after all, it is the holiday season. Ladies and gentlemen, John Cho and Cal Penn join us in studio here.
Thank you. We did not think we'd have three of these.
Of course not. You were amazed the first one got made and came out.
Let's be honest. That's a fact. Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense that we should be in any movies, much less three of the same. It's really stupid.
But this is what I love about Hollywood is they take a premise that might have been a good 6-minute Saturday Night Live sketch, and they've turned it into three movies. And I think you've got to give them a lot of credit for that, right?
Thank you very much. We are the battleship of stoner comedy.
Wow, that's pretty bold, Justin.
I hope they put that on the poster.
Man. Could you imagine our poster was just our own quotes?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Were you contractually obligated whereby you had to do this movie if they decided to, or were you done and then they sent it to you and said, oh, this is really good, I got to get back in?
No, all of us had a 3-picture option contract, which, you know, back in 2003 when we signed on to the first one, we thought how awesome would that be if we got to do three of them? So it was contractual, but what John and I always say is we have a very huge soft spot for playing these characters. Kumar is infinitely cooler than I will ever be, and I just love coming back to play him. I would do a fourth one. I'd be down.
How about you, John? Same deal?
Fourth one, absolutely. If it was clever, if it made sense, I think it'd be fun to see Well, you know, in this one, we're a little older than we were in the second one.
Yeah.
6 years older or something. And it was fun to play, like, Harold is married, trying to have a baby. I think it'd be fun to see Kumar with a kid. I think that would be ridiculous comedy.
Yeah, it is funny to think about these kids grown up into adults and how they navigate their lives. By the way, first Christmas movie out of the gate, I think, right? Which is good for y'all. I mean, people are kind of getting in the holiday spirit. Yeah. This is the first one of the season, right?
November 4th, so right on time.
Right on time. You still have Halloween candy at home.
Yeah, exactly. We barely waited for Halloween.
Now, when you heard it was going to be 3D, was there an initial groan until you found out that they were kind of going to make that part of the joke?
No. We did you have a groan?
Absolutely, I did.
No,
until I read the script.
A little disagreement here.
Yeah. You didn't really?
No.
Here's why. I sort of saw that and I thought, is this just gimmicky or are they actually going to do something with it? And then we,
we need gimmicks.
Yes, but the gimmicks that our fans would like, which I was happy with when we ended up shooting. We shot the movie in 3D. It wasn't a post-production conversion, so that means that you actually pay attention to the gags, and it is not Avatar. No, you know, our fans hopefully are not expecting it to be. What you get instead are highly inappropriate graphic gags with a whole lot of Santa Claus heart, which I liked.
Very good.
You know?
Very good.
And there are 3D boobs in the movie, too, right?
Oh, for sure. Boobs, and 3D other genitals.
Really?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes. Oh, dear God.
I'm
in.
There's a clay penis and a flesh penis,
right?
In case anyone's counting.
There's something for everyone. If you're into clay cocks,
oh,
oops.
Oh, that's okay. We got rid of it.
We got it. My well done. Goodness, John Cho.
Have you not done early. Radio before, John?
Sorry. Bleep me again. Rick
but
I D's.
Am.
Rick D's.
You guys do other movies as well. What do you make of the 3D? I mean, is the, forgetting Harold and Kumar for a second, is the 3D something that Hollywood is forcing down our throats, or do you think it makes sense and is here to stay and you like it?
I think it depends on the movie. What do you think?
Well, it's technology. We're not getting rid of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not for every movie. I don't think I want to don the glasses for every movie. However, you know, if it's the right combination, why not?
Will the next Star Trek movie be in 3D, do you think?
I don't believe it will be.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. That's a choice. That's
well, because 3D's lame, let's face it.
Hey,
it shouldn't exist.
John, we have a 3D movie coming out tomorrow.
I'm sorry, what?
We have a 3D movie coming out tomorrow.
Rick D's is the greatest DJ to have ever lived.
What?
Sorry.
What's
this
happening right
does
now?
Not play.
What? I'm sorry.
How much smoking is going on right now?
John is still awake from last night.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's talk about last night because you ran into Beer Mug on the red carpet, and I was who's here in the studio with us. I was happy to see that he didn't burn any bridges. You were still willing to come into K-Rock today.
Yes.
We appreciate that. What's the scene like? I mean, you saw it with a crowd. Now, granted, it's not a paying full theater crowd like you'll have this weekend. Some industry folks there too. But how did it play?
It played pretty well. It didn't play as well with my mother and father who were sitting next to me.
Seriously.
Particularly, there's some Jesus jokes that my dad was a little uncomfortable with. And then my mother had to watch my penis stuck to a frozen pole, an icy pole.
Wait, which one's the penis?
Very good.
Now, do you give them a heads up that a scene like that is coming before they go, or do you just let them discover it along the way?
I just rolled it. I think I just gave on the car ride over. I said, "I'm sorry. You're going to see some things that are going to be unpleasant. Do you want to know more?" And they said, "No, we'll just go and do it."
What's it like for parents? First of all, you got to convince them that you're serious about going into the show business as an actor. No parent is pleased. There's no parent who's pleased with that decision. Am I right about that?
Correct.
First of all,
correct.
They want you to have a real job, something that's steady, right?
Yeah.
Then you end up being Harold and Kumar. What's that like for your folks? Is it something? I mean, is that the type of thing that they brag to their friends at the hair salon about?
You know, I had done
hair salon.
Wherever your mom's going, John, I don't know.
I had done Van Wilder before that, which was graphic in its own right, and I sent my parents the script before I shot it, just so they knew not to tell their friends to go see it in a big group. So by the time Harold and Kumar rolled around, I think they appreciated that we were actually kind of the buddy comedy guys driving it, as opposed to a sidekick, which is a lot harder to explain to your parents why you're in a pretty graphic scene as a sidekick. So
they enjoyed this. I mean, my parents are so proud that on this level, that you know, is Korean guy and an Indian guy on a poster driving down Sunset Boulevard, that part of it is just thrilling for them.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like the glamour part of it, but I mean, it's an achievement that would have seemed so impossible 10 years ago. So on that level, at least, they're proud.
That's an actual salient point, John. That made a lot of...
Thank
I mean,
you.
that was deep, bro.
He's very smart.
Well Thank done. You. A very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. We've got John Cho and Cal Penn here in studio on the Kevin Amin Show. The movie opens up everywhere on Friday. When we come back, we have to talk about the great Neil Patrick Harris, who looks like he just kills it again in this movie. And what a cast, by the way.
Yeah.
Thomas Lennon is in this movie. Bobby Lee, Patton Oswalt, Danny Trejo. We'll talk about all that and more with our guests when we return right after this
Good
on the
teasing.
Kevin Amin Show. They are the greatest Indian and Korean stoner duo in movie history. John Cho, I believe you said that in an interview recently, right?
None. And this, by the way, is the greatest American movie ever made.
My God, John.
I'm not afraid to say
You're so humble.
Thank you. I'm not. This will change your life, your personal religious life.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah. And change
American Harold cinema. And Kumar 3D Christmas, of course, the movie we're talking about, actors John Cho, Cal Penn in studio with us. Hey, speaking of the Jesus angle, just from the trailer, I see the way Jesus shows up when Neil Patrick Harris's character goes up to heaven. And is that the type of thing? I mean, well, you hope people protest against, but has there been any early word that people are mad or anything? Does anything go when it's a Harold and Kumar movie?
I had seen folks that were upset about it. To be perfectly honest, what I love about playing these characters is that they do things that I kind of morally disagree with personally.
Uh-huh.
So I remember reading those scenes and being like, oh man, this is, how do you do this? This is not cool. And then it kind of dawned on me, like, the people that are going to see this movie are not the folks that would be offended. And the dream sequence where Kumar kind of punches out a member of the clergy, I kind of realized this actually is
a member of the clergy.
Wow. The first two movies, so he is fighting stereotypes himself. He gets so annoyed that people are stereotyping him. And now you realize he does the same thing to other people. He's just as stereotypical of another community as we are. So I kind of like those levels.
The other thing is, I found this weird about our movies is they push the line so far, and yet
there's no line.
We get away with it, I think, because Harold and Kumar are kind of sweet.
Yeah, they're very likeable.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
totally.
So I feel like we get away with so much more than other movies. It's kind of unbelievable. I mean, we have a baby doing ecstasy and cocaine and weed in our movie. A baby.
Is that not okay? What are you saying?
Don't take your children to see this Christmas movie, but go with your friends.
All right.
All right. Let me throw some names about some of your co-stars in the new movie.
Yes.
And let me hear a story or a thought or a word about, first of all, Danny Trejo, the nicest guy in the world. How terrifying is that guy to look at?
Yeah, John, you have the best stories about
I don't know. He is terrifying. I mean, he does have the same
machete
face
for folks who don't know
camera.
That.
Yeah, exactly. He has the exact same face when you see him off camera, and so he's scary all the time. When they yell cut, he just takes off his shirt. That's what he does. Honestly, cut, shirt off, because he's got a great skin shirt, and he like hangs out in that.
This is machete.
What about the great chameleon actor? I think this dude can do anything. I wouldn't be surprised to see Patton Oswalt win an Oscar for drama one day. He's so good. What's he doing in your movie?
He is Kumar's dealer.
Yeah, Patton plays this twisted mall Santa at the beginning of the movie who turns out to be Kumar's dealer. And you can tell they've got this weird, twisted relationship that goes back a couple of years, presumably when Harold and Kumar kind of stopped being friends, this guy kind of took the place of the weed supplier.
He's really good.
In some way. He's amazing.
Apparently he's funny. I found out he's a comedian
he's
of some
very
sort.
Funny.
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't he have a book out right
on
now?
On our comedy show.
Oh, in your comedy show. Oh,
that
wow.
We have. Not yeah.
He does
show.
Have a book out.
Not
yeah.
this show.
Swell. That's swell.
Concert we do.
Thomas Lennon.
Oh, man. Tom Lennon is hilarious. Tom Lennon is always on. That guy has jokes all the time. It can be 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, you're working all night.
Scary smart. Canadian. So.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah.
Oh.
But does that automatically make him half as smart as an American?
Dare you. No, they're twice as smart.
And finally, the great Neil Patrick Harris. And before I hear what you have to say about him in this movie, your franchise is kind of, that was the beginning of the ascension to the top of the mountain of show business, right, for Neil Patrick Harris.
Wow,
that was
mythic language. Ascension to the show business Olympus.
He was smart enough to see, hey, I can do this movie. It'll be fun. I'll show that I got a great sense of humor, can do great comedy, poke fun at myself. And all of a sudden, overnight, it seemed like he was back, and he's just done nothing but get bigger and bigger since then.
It's weird, by the way, that the filthier he gets in our movies, the more sweetheart stuff he does in his other life.
Yeah.
He's doing Regis and Kelly.
Yeah, right after he branded a prostitute in our second movie,
weird.
He gets to do Regis and Kelly.
It's not
pretty
fair. Why does he get to do that?
Let me tell you what's not fair is that he could walk down the street and point to any hot chick he sees and have her if he wanted, yet he doesn't want.
Well, that's what we address in our movie. Between the second and the third movie, he came out of the closet. And we're obviously using his name in our movies. Mm-hmm. He plays himself, or a version of himself. We thought we should. This is an opportunity for comedy. So we posit in our movie that Neil Patrick Harris is a straight man. That Neil Patrick Harris, the actor, is a gay. Neil Patrick Harris is a gay actor playing a straight man playing homosexual in our movie.
Too deep for me. Sorry.
Yes.
You'll see.
Sorry.
Make it funny. That's all I care about. Just make it funny.
Don't push me. It's early.
All right. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there because I guess Mr. Big TV Star has to get down to the set of How I Met Your Mother.
You're on a TV show?
I am. It's called How I Met Your Mother. It's Neil's show.
Really?
We have a 9:15 call, and I don't want to be the new guy
late. You're employed. Big deal.
You are going to do Star Trek at some point very soon,
oh, yeah,
I think.
I feel better.
Yeah.
That is a huge feature film.
You play Sulu in it. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And, John, you'll have to come back in the beginning of 2012 to talk Total Recall, too, because I know you have a very big year coming out next year as well.
Oh, that's Smurfly. Let's do it.
All right, Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. Howard is some alternative reality that I'm unfamiliar with.
You know, Neil's character always does that. Whenever he sees Harold and Kumar, Harold always gets another name. He remembers Kumar.
Morty.
Yeah, Morty, what else is he done?
Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas opens everywhere tomorrow, Friday. Please go see it. You will not be disappointed. John Cho, Cal Penn, you guys are the best. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks
for having us.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. By the way, I forgot to even mention this when Harold and Kumar were here, but Patton Oswalt from the 3D Christmas movie is going to be in studio with us tomorrow here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You know how much we love Patton.
It
looks like we're going to be talking to Joshua Jackson from Fringe. Cousin Sal will have your NFL picks for the weekend and the return of Adam Carolla this week in Rage, and Ralph's got the movie beat too. All of that tomorrow right here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Lisa, you don't believe celebrities write their own books very often, I guess.
No, you know they don't.
So when I say Shaquille O'Neal has a new book coming out November 15th, you say, who did he write it with, right?
Exactly.
Well, he wrote it with Jackie McMullen, actually is the name, from Around the Horn on ESPN. And this is a book that a lot of people have been looking forward to because Shaq is now retired from the NBA. And he's got a lot of stories, particularly about his times playing with the Lakers and the stress and tension of playing with Kobe Bryant. Apparently, it's very controversial, some of the stuff that he alleges. Oh. Shaq Uncut, My Story is the name of the book. Shaquille O'Neal joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hey, Shaq. How you doing?
Very good. How you doing?
Doing good. So how much of this book did you write? How much did your co-writer, Jackie McMullen, write?
I wrote all of it, man.
You did.
He just cleaned it up?
Took a transcriber and made a book out of it.
I see. Okay. All right. That's your
story. The words of mine, and I wrote it down in crayon. And he took it and he typed it up. He typed it up for me.
It sounds like the low point of your time with the Lakers has to be the start of the 2003-04 season.
Yeah,
where,
man.
Basically, Coach Jackson came to you and said, you guys have got to quit sniping at one another. You're going to start getting fined if you continue to fight in the public.
There's no more fighting, man. And then next thing you know, Kobe go to Jim Gray. Interview Jim Gray, say, I'm fat and out of shape.
And that hurt you that he said that you were fat and out of shape and that you were maybe faking an injury and you weren't playing hard anymore?
Yeah.
That hurt you?
It does hurt me. And then Kobe said, well, you weren't there for me when I was in Colorado, man, with the whole Colorado thing.
Uh-huh. And do you feel that you were there for him? Did you stand up for Kobe when he had those accusations leveled against him for sexual?
I called him, man, but, you know, Kobe never hang out with nobody, never hang out with the rest of the team. And then all of a sudden, he wants everybody to be there for him. And he wasn't there for anybody else, man.
Right. You used to invite him to parties at your house. You invite him to your wedding. You'd invite him to dinner on the road. He would never go.
Yeah, that's right. I got a poem. I wrote a poem about Kobe.
Oh, a poem. All right,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. There once was a dude named Kobe whose ancestors came from Nairobi. He showed his bravado once in Colorado when he forced that girl to disrobe.
Now, is that in the book, Shaq?
No, man. I just wrote that.
Wow.
Oh, just that.
This morning for you guys. Well, my breakfast.
Is Kobe one of the greatest basketball players who ever lived?
Yeah, he's a good player, man.
Yeah.
But he's not the big Aristotle. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, he's not. And you also write about your time, your whole NBA career. So you got stories in there about playing for the Magic and playing for the Heat.
That's right.
Yeah. What did you think of what kind of good time did you have in other cities besides Los Angeles?
I love Miami, man. Love Miami because that's a party town in Miami. Is.
Sure.
You go, you can go drinking like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And then ladies are fine in Miami. So I'm told. I think I'm married.
You're not sure?
I don't think so, man. I gotta check with my people.
What about retired life? What's that like, being Shaquille O'Neal? And you're still a relatively young man, but you're done with doing something you've been doing since you were a little kid.
It's great, man, because I'm a sheriff. I'm a crime fighter.
Crime fighter?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to be a director, going to direct movies.
Uh-huh.
And going to make, because I am too.
Well,
and
I don't know
Steel
that.
Too.
We don't need either of those sequels.
And a new movie called Kobe. How my ass taste? Kobe?
That sounds like a good movie,
Kobe,
actually.
How my ass taste?
That's the time. What's the, I mean.
It's going 3D.
3D.
Kobe face in 3D on my 3D ass.
Oh, man.
Taste my ass in 3D.
It does sound like you're keeping a grudge here years later.
Kobe.
Seems like you should let that go, though.
Kobe, how my ass taste?
You're retired. I'm sorry. I didn't catch it. What's the name? That's the movie. In 3D?
In 3D.
By the way, this story that we're going to talk about coming up after the top of the hour. Lisa, you know which one it is. It involves a naked woman and a horse.
And it's not sexy like it sounds.
It's not at all sexy. Is it the strangest story you've ever heard, maybe?
It's one of the most
It has to be close,
things.
Right?
You just don't get it, man. You don't get it.
I don't get it.
You don't get it.
I don't get it at
Becoming
all.
Becoming one with
on
nature.
Steroids.
You don't get it.
Yeah, I could live 1,000 years and it would never occur to me to crawl inside my dead horse.
Because you don't love animals.
I don't think that's what that is at all.
That's what it's all about, loving animals.
We will discuss, and we have audio from the story, and unfortunately photos to be posted in minutes at kevinandbean.com, which you may or may not want to see. But that's coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
Kim Kardashian.
I'm sorry, who?
Sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian is currently in Australia selling her wares. And by selling her wares, I mean her clothing line, not her vagina.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying.
For a change. She did a radio interview when she got there saying that it's ridiculous for anyone to think that she would get married just for money. Because nobody does that.
We're terrible people.
That's right. And she is not ready to go into details about her marriage. Oh, now she's not ready. Now, why weren't you not ready 3 months ago when they were shoving that 4-hour TV special down our throats? I could have used a little less sharing then.
Yeah.
Now, when I'm actually interested in hearing about your wedding, you had nothing to talk about.
You know, the more I hear about this story, Ralph, the more this is two people who met to make a movie, essentially.
Yes.
And then the movie ended and they go off to their separate ways.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like more and more rather than a marriage.
Chris Humphries, his career's taken off. Of course, the NBA lockout's still ongoing, so he's unemployed. However, he's getting all kinds of offers. Chippendales in Las Vegas has offered him a gig as a celebrity MC.
Excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chippendales. Here are the fellas you have been waiting for. Can't wait to see him on the stage in Vegas.
He is not personality plus.
No.
He's really, really.
He is Herman Munster is what he is. Speaking of Vegas, I'll be in Vegas Saturday night. If you happen to be in town, if you're going to Vegas, come see me and Kevin Smith. We're doing our show Hollywood Babylon at the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip. 8 o'clock on Saturday night. You can get tickets.
It's Friday,
no, it's not Friday. Saturday.
Oh. What?
CSMOD.com is the place to go. SEESMOD.com. Maybe me and Chris Humphries will be hanging out at Chippendales because I used to perform there. They bring me back for the alumni shows once in a while.
I bet they do.
How? Lisa! Chris also, by the way, has been offered a job by localhotclassifieds.com.
Sounds reputable.
Classy website. He would like them, they would like him, rather, to be their new spokesperson. And they said they will match the salary he was making on the TV show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. localhotclassifieds.com.
That's wow. A fantastic domain name.
That makes that makes Craigslist sound positively erudite.
Hold on a sec. Let me get that website address again, please.
www.voicesfromspirit.com
right.
/ capital V21
mm-hmm. yes.
capital N5
capital
/
links.htm.
Okay,
we know you will find it of interest.
Okay, yeah, I will. We'll find it of interest. With a capital N?
Yes.
Let me hear that one more time. Let me get I forgot to write that down. Lindsay Lohan!
www.voicesfromspirit.com
Voicesfromspirit.com
/V21 N5/links.htm
Okay. That sounds like an easy to remember address.
Got it. Lindsay Lohan! She was sentenced to 30 days in jail yesterday, but today she's having a much better day. She's getting to reshoot her Playboy photos.
Oh, nice. Wait, reshoot?
Yeah, she shot the original layout last weekend. And word is, Hef didn't approve the pictures. Didn't think they were good enough for the magazine. She's supposed to be in the January issue, so they have to kind of hurry. They've brought in a new photographer to do the reshoot, and so today they will try again.
Is she furiously trying to lose weight, or what's happening?
I don't understand. She doesn't look like she's out of shape. I think she's curvy, but she always has been. I can't imagine.
She's not even good at getting naked anymore.
Rumor has it, apparently, Lindsay took the original photos, chopped them up, and snorted them. So,
oh, well, there you go.
That's why they're missing. And Lisa did mention couponcabin.com, our new favorite website. Kate Gosselin has a new job. Apparently, she is not leaving show business behind because she has the high-profile job of writing a blog for couponcabin.com.
Awesome.
Her column begins November the 22nd. If you want to make a circle of your calendar, make sure you look her up and find out how she clips her coupons. Justin Bieber says he didn't have sex with Mariah Yeager. Bieber and Yeager. It's like a bad law firm. She claims they had sex backstage at his concert at the Staples Center last year here in Los Angeles. She says they did it in like a closet or something. She says he refused to use a condom because it was his first time.
Wow, this story just gets better and better.
And he wanted to feel everything. Well, she filed a paternity suit saying 9 months later she gave birth to his baby. And now she wants the courts to prove it. So we'll have to wait and see. Justin, however, says he didn't have sex with her. He has no idea who she is. And he tweeted yesterday, I'm going to ignore the rumors and focus on what is real. An opportunity to help by doing what I love. Judge me on the music. Love y'all.
Who cares about Justin Bieber? Nobody cares about Bieber.
So far, no comment from Selena Gomez, Justin's girlfriend, about all this.
Why?
You never do me in the closet of the Staples Center. Gonna be all jealous. Today's celebrity birthdays: Roseanne Barr's 59, Dennis Miller is 58, Dolph Lundgren, of course, probably best known as the legendary Drago from Rocky IV.
Why did he not have more of a career after that high-profile movie?
He isn't a good actor.
I see.
That may be the problem.
But that didn't stop Schwarzenegger and guys like that.
That's
though.
True. Well, he did some films. He did The Punisher and he did Masters of the Universe, Expendables. Back for those films. He's 54 years old. Kendall Jenner, the next generation of fame-seeking Kardashian. She is 16 years old today. And Adam Ant, he is 57. We did a little research. We found out that Adam Ant was at the third Almost Acoustic Christmas that K-Rock
did.
Wow.
That's where he performed.
That's a ways back, huh?
That's a ways back. And he wowed the crowd. You know why? He don't drink, he don't smoke.
What do we do, Ralph?
Goody, goody, two-shoes, goody, two, goody, goody, two-shoes. Don't drink, don't smoke, what do you do?
That song gets you shaking your ass, won't it?
I like it.
That's how Bean lost all that weight. Shaking his ass to Adamant. Anybody can do it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. We were one of the last radio stations in America to get a website. Remember, Lisa, when we used to call tiny little stations in Iowa and say, how is it you're able to get something on the internet when we can't do it in Los Angeles?
It was incredibly embarrassing.
But we're there now, and yes. I think we're running with the big boys. It's worth going to krock.com all the time to check out, just from the Kevin and Bean show alone, to check out our pictures of the day and our internet roundup and everything. And new information yesterday on the Golden Voice 30 concerts that are happening in December. The 30th anniversary of that great Southern California concert promoter, including Social D, Bad Religion, Descendants. Great series of concerts. All the details at krock.com. While you're there, check out the top post at Kevin and Bean's page on krock.com. And you'll see one of the strangest stories I think I've ever seen since we've been doing this show. The headline is Naked 21-Year-Old Woman Plus a Dead Horse Equals? Question mark. And you can see pictures.
Good times. That's what it equals.
Good times indeed. Maybe a few warnings before we get into this discussion.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
Clearly what's about to happen on our stage is very dangerous. Seems obvious, but we should underscore it. Please, don't try this or anything resembling this at home.
And probably most important of all,
the American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
Okay, so here's the story from the CBS affiliate in Atlanta about what happened with this kind of cute 21-year-old girl in Portland, Oregon. She and her boyfriend were horse owners until they weren't.
We've blurred out the most graphic parts of this picture, which is actually most of it. It is, for the record, a dead horse, recently slaughtered, all of its insides laying on the ground, and the face of a 21-year-old woman smiling back at the camera from inside the dead horse's carcass.
Okay, now right now you're hearing that and you're having trouble wrapping your head around what has happened, right?
I am like,
and I should
what
mention,
kind
by
of
the way,
crazy voodoo is going on here.
What is going on? She said she wanted to be at one with the horse. The story, as we'll find out, involves this woman who had to put her horse down, a pet horse that she had to put down. But it's once the horse was already dead, she decided she was going to gut it and pose for naked photos inside of it. Now, I don't have that connection. I don't go from A to B. I call a guy with a forklift to come and bury my horse in my yard is what I do next.
I don't understand gutting something you love.
I don't either.
I don't get that connection. You can be a hippie. I just don't understand why you have to get inside the horse. How is that not horrifying?
No matter how, I mean, especially if you love your animal.
Yeah.
How do you want to be wrapped inside of it like Luke Skywalker in a tauntaun? I don't get it.
God, I don't want to be her grandmother, I'll tell you that.
Now we're speaking of her grandmother. Here's the part of the news story where her mother is seeing the photos for the first time of her smiling 21-year-old daughter covered in horse's blood inside the horse.
Got all the way in it?
Yeah, she's all the way. That's her head.
Oh, my God. She got all the way in it. What was she thinking?
That's the reaction from the woman's mother who hadn't seen these pictures until we showed them to her. Washington County Sheriff's deputies have also seen these photos.
She decided, I don't know if it was premeditated or if she decided once they were slaughtering the horse that she wanted to crawl inside it and feel what it was like to be one with the horse.
In an incident report prepared by Washington County Sheriff's deputies, the woman said there was nothing religious about what she did and didn't intend to offend anyone. She said she was just curious.
Okay.
That sounds unnecessary.
It sure does. And by the way, again, you can see the pictures, although I think we've given you plenty of warnings so that you know what you're getting yourself in for. She is naked, and she is inside a horse. You can go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. By the way, best comment so far from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Adrian writes in simply with these words, white people. she was just curious and wanted to be at one with her pet. Now, by the way, it sounds like we're being jovial about this, partly just because it's so unbelievably uncomfortable. It is a serious story, but no one's a bigger animal lover than I am. Maybe Lisa's right up there with me.
I totally am. Yeah.
By all accounts, you know, they've investigated this. They put the horse down humanely. I think what is drawing so much comment now is what people's feelings are about what the proper and respectful way is to handle the animal once it's gone.
They not only did they put it down humanely, it apparently was sick. Isn't that
yes.
what you said?
Yes.
So it was going to be put down, but they chose not to have a vet do it. They just
right.
got out their six shooter.
Yeah,
and
they
took
used
care of it.
They used a high caliber weapon and shot the horse. You know, the horse died quickly and humanely and without yeah. pain. I mean, that's how they do it. That's right. not the choice I make. You know, I've had to put down cows and pigs and whatnot. I call the professionals out to do it with put them to sleep
right.
and then euthanize. But let's go on with the story from Atlanta TV.
Nothing else. But there's more to all of this. Photos of the woman and her boyfriend holding what appears to be the horse's heart. And some other part of the horse looking as though they're about to take a bite out of it.
Okay, now, we're getting even creepier if that's possible. What's wrong with these people? Is it an art project? Is it all in good fun? Is it a continuation of their stated goal to get closer to the animal that they love? Or are they just insane? Are they doing it for shock value? I mean, they're not talking. They're on the run. They're getting death threats from posting these photos on their Facebook pages. I mean, there are people who are out for them. What do you think is going on? Birma, what do you think is going on with this couple that did this?
Drugs.
Really?
It does yeah. sound like they're just high on something.
Just tripping out of their mind, crazy, no thought process behind it. Straight up drugs.
And this photo, by the way, and even if you don't want to go further into the post at KROQ.com and see more graphic photos, the photo that's mostly blurred with just her face, she's got like crazy eyes.
Yeah.
She's enjoying this way too much.
And that was my other question. If this is an animal that they cared about, putting it down is a horrible experience, and you're not laughing. Right? And you're
not
laughing as you gut it and hold up its heart?
I think they got a hold of some peyote and they just thought it would be...
It's like crazy mushrooms or something.
It's like, oh, let's do this. This is spiritual. I'm tripping. Let's get inside.
But how do you then even get creepier and start holding organs in front of you as if you're going to take a bite out of your horse's heart? How does that even happen?
I mean, wouldn't you have to be, even to be able to do what they did, be someone who hunts and guts animals regularly?
There's very little information in this story, and they're not talking. They're not speaking to anyone now, so we don't know what their background is. I mean, yeah, it's possible that this 21-year-old white chick from Oregon is a hunter. She would certainly not make the profile. That's not the profile that we think about. All right, last part of the news story, talking about eating the heart.
One picture, the most artistic one of the bunch, shows the woman naked and blood-soaked from head to toe, standing over the horse.
Oh. At some point during your career, you go, I've seen a lot of bad stuff. And you see this kind of picture and you realize that maybe you haven't seen everything.
Now, while all this sounds weird and possibly illegal, no charges have been filed in this investigation. It's been suspended, actually. The horse in question was 32 years old, suffering because of medical issues. The horse was put down humanely with a single shot to the brain from a high-powered rifle. The intent was, according to the police report, slaughter the horse and eat it. The woman's mother says it was the sweetest meat she'd ever tasted.
Well, at least we end on a happy note.
The
at
woman's
least,
mother ate it?
At least there's a positive to all of this. At least somebody got a good meal out of it, Lisa.
Well,
so it's not
I would
all
be
bad.
Watching out for the sick pets in that neighborhood, wouldn't you?
Wow.
Yes, I would. Well, look, you have been forewarned. Oh. You can go to KROQ.com or KevinAmin.com and see it.
Not.
Yeah. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
While we're talking about Coldplay, congratulations. Their new album, Zendata Menyatta, is number one on the Billboard Top 200.
It's Milo Ziloto, or I think is what it's called.
No, I don't think anyone would call an album Milo Ziloto Beat.
I'm just happy to see any rock band sell at number one. It's so rare these days.
Rock.
You know what I mean. It's in the category of rock more, I think, more so than it is pop.
It's no Steel Panther. It's Steel Panther.
No, you're right. I can't argue with you.
All right, then.
Okay. But it's also not Lil Wayne either, though. I'm just saying. Demi Lovato. You know, it's nice to see something that palatable to us that is still popular.
No, absolutely. Congratulations to those guys. I kid because I love. This is their third studio album, by the way, to be number one at the top of the Billboard 200.
Nice.
La Vida Loca, of course, did it in 2008. It was La Vida Lita, Vida. Hoping somebody would catch me on that one, but...
Nope.
And X and Y before that, so congratulations to those guys. Number two on the Billboard 200, Kelly Clarkson, Stronger. Michael Bublé's Christmas. wonder what that CD's all about.
No idea.
Bean, how is it?
I haven't listened to that one yet.
I get every Christmas CD the minute it comes off the presses.
I enjoy holiday music, as you know, and I get excited this time of year when every year, you know, every week there's new Christmas music out. But honestly, it's been just the Bieber for me the last week or so. I haven't been listening to much else in terms of Christmas music.
Why do you listen to Christmas music all year round?
How do you answer a question like that? Because I enjoy
tell
it.
Tell me why you do it. That's how you answer
that.
It.
I love that kind of music. I love the themes and the imagery, and there's a lot of
but
great
it's about,
Christmas songs.
It's about joy and love and brotherhood and being together and parties and festivities, none of which you love.
And there's religion, which he also doesn't have.
Right. So what is it exactly about that genre of music that floats your particular boat?
I don't know. I think there are topics, there are universal topics and themes that are appealing to me
in
Christmas
music. No,
there
are, but in your life they're not appealing to you.
But they are. I like hearing little songs about sleds and jingle bells and presents and Santa. I like all of that stuff. And I like the religious side. I love the greatest story ever told, you know, the Jesus story with the songs about Mary and the wise men and all that stuff. I dig all of that stuff.
So bizarre.
I carry around
but only
my
in song form. You don't care about it in any other form, like life.
I like Christmas movies too.
But how about your life? How about spending time with loved ones and parties and festivities and sharing eggnog and pumpkin pie and telling stories around the fire and inviting friends and loved ones to your home to celebrate?
Overrated. Look, real life is messy. I prefer things to be generally digital. That's the way I like to enjoy my life. I carry my 600 favorite Christmas songs around with me on my iPhone at all times, so I always have Christmas music at my fingertips. And it was tough to narrow it down to just 600 to make that list, too, by the way. So Michael Bublé, number 3.
Adelaide, 21, is number 4th on the list. Toby Keith's Clancy's Tavern. Oh, I bet that's a song about drinking and fighting in pickup trucks. I'm guessing.
I hope there's some boot up somebody's ass.
Tom Waits, Bad as Me, and his debut album was number 6 on the list. Scott McCreery from American Idol, he's number 7 on the list. Then Lady Antebellum, Tony Bennett's Duets 2, and Casting Crowns with their CD, Come to the Well. So you can check out the latest and greatest in music on the Billboard 200. While we're talking about music, Lady Gaga, she has shown up in the news today. She is setting up a foundation to help fight bullying and to build self-confidence. She's calling it the Born This Way Foundation. Oh, the Born Foundation is one of my favorite movies, by the way. Foundation.
This is different.
It will offer mentoring and career development to empower young people to be proud of who they are.
She's really into this cause beyond just, hey, I wrote a song about it. I mean, she's turning it into a thing, isn't she?
Isn't it funny, though, that for someone who is building a large part of her persona around being born this way, no one has changed themselves more from the way they were born to who they are on stage.
That's a good point.
From changing her name to what she wears, to the clothing, to the hairstyles, to the makeup. No one is less who they actually are than Lady Gaga is in her career.
That's a great point.
That's her inside coming out.
Oh, I see.
See?
Where did her outside go then? Inside? Did someone cut her open and crawl inside her carcass?
I hope not.
Start to impersonate her? She's not born that way at all. She's completely manufactured.
No, but I think what Lisa's saying is this is how she was born, and it took her a long time to realize and shed what society was trying to get her to be before she decided.
Okay, you were born Stephanie Jeremiah. Why did you change your name? How did you come up with Lady Gaga?
Yes. She was born that way, Larry. That's what happened. Britney Spears, she was born that way, too. Lack of oxygen to the brain. That's what made her born that way. She wants to be a movie star. She is saying that she wants to get back into acting and give a movie role another go. Her first and only film, 2002's Crossroads, of course, did not fare so well at the box office or with the critics. But she thinks she's grown now. She's changed and she's ready to take on another role. She'd like to play a detective or an assassin, she says.
Yes, please.
I'm all for it.
An astronaut while you're at it.
Yes. Nuclear physicist.
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
Lindsay Lohan's going to jail for 30 days. Well, she was sentenced to 30 days. She's not going for 30 days. Sheriff says she'll probably end up serving 6. But she has to complete
4 psychotherapy sessions by December the 14th, and 12 days of work at the Los Angeles County Morgue. According to Judge Stephanie Sopner yesterday, who had her in the courtroom.
That's baloney.
Told Lindsay.
It doesn't make sense.
You hold the keys to the jail cell. Suggesting that if she completes all of the that is required of her, she'll be okay. If she doesn't, the judge said, she will sentence her to 270 more days of jail. If this sentence is not completed by March the 29th. So
fantastic.
We'll see if she cleans up her act or not.
I wonder if she'll ever be in another movie. I mean, she used to be an actress.
She did.
That John Gotti project, okay, that's being shelved.
Yeah.
So she won't be in that. I don't know of any other work on the horizon for her. Although today she is working because she needs to reshoot her Playboy pictures.
That is a bad sign that she has to reshoot them.
Hugh Hefner, sure is.
Hugh Hefner took a look at the photos that she shot, I don't know, a week and a half ago, whatever it was, and did not give his stamp of approval. So they brought in a new photographer, and they're going to do a do-over today. She will be shooting brand-new photos for what looks to be the January issue of the magazine. That's when they're hoping to get her in there.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah,
I would too. Ralph, let me ask your opinion on this, and I know you and your dad are close. Hugh Hefner.
Sure.
Do you approve of the singular vision of Playboy Enterprises 60 years on, that Hugh still is the guy who is deciding his particular taste in women is the only thing that makes it into the magazine?
I don't know if it's his particular taste in women anymore. I think he gets a lot of input from a lot of the editors. They've got photo editors in Chicago and also here in Los Angeles. And there's a big editorial staff, but he does get veto power. And I think that there's something to be said for that.
Do you? Because it just seems like it's so narrow. His type is so narrow, I think.
But it's not just his type that shows up in the magazine. They're women of all colors and creeds
and sizes
yeah.
But they're
in that magazine.
Airbrushed to within an inch of their life, for instance, and they're all.
They have to be perfect.
Well, they have to live up to the fantasy. You know, people don't want to see real people in the pages of Playboy. I don't think whoever was running the magazine that would particularly change. Just like people don't want to see real photos of supermodels.
She's got fake boobs, fake lips, fake nose, fake cheekbones. She's fake, fake, fake.
Playboy's selling an ideal; it's not selling a reality. So,
I think
there has to be some quality control in it. Look. He started the magazine. He built the empire. Why not give
him? He's allowed. I don't know. Just something about going to an 85-year-old for his opinion on what's sexy at some point. I just think, I don't know.
Well,
I
mean, it's better than giving you veto power, because then we would have 85-year-olds in the magazine. And then where would we be? So, you know, if we're going to give somebody the criteria, I think it should be Hef versus other people.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Roseanne Barr is 59 years old today. She's got a new sitcom in the works where she will play a white trash housewife in a trailer park.
Is she a good enough actress to pull off that stretch?
I don't know. I wish her all the best. She better take some classes. Comedian Dennis Miller is 58. At least he used to be a comedian. Remember when he used to be funny? Mm. Now he just seems angry a lot.
Yeah.
He just seems grumpy. Adam Ant is 57. Dolph Lundgren from Rocky IV, he's 54 years old today. And Kendall Jenner, that name may not mean anything to you now. But soon it'll mean even less. No. She's a model, and she's also the daughter of Bruce Jenner and Kris Jenner / Kardashian. So they are grooming an entire new generation of talentless fame seekers who will be on our local television, I'm sure.
Who gives it, damn?
Not me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph, and thanks to everybody who listened to today's Kevin and Bean Show. Had a great time with Harold and Kumar today with Cal Penn and John Cho. Nicest guys in the world.
Yes.
So talented.
And a very fun interview. Well done, sir.
And the movie looks, thank you, it looks so much fun. It opens up tomorrow. And, of course, Patton Oswalt's also in the film playing a dirty, dirty Santa Claus. He's going to be joining us on tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Patton is in here, the hardest working man in show business.
He's got a new movie also coming out with Charlize Theron, and I'm not the least bit too pleased about that. That he gets to spend time with my girl.
He is on Bored to Death. He is doing the Walking Dead, post-recap Talking Dead podcast show.
Mm-hmm.
He just edited the new Spin magazine, Lisa was telling me earlier today. I mean, the guy is just, he's got his fingers in everything right now. And he's so funny.
A dumb douchebag.
Also,
like you, apparently.
Joshua Jackson will be on the show tomorrow. Of course, the star of Fringe.
Peter is back!
Friday nights on Fox.
Peter is back!
Cousin Sal will be here taking a look at the
preview. Did you hear me? Peter is back!
Yes, we're going to discuss that with Mr. Jackson tomorrow.
Oh, Peter! I missed you, Peter!
Also, the movie beat tomorrow. That means Ralph will be taking a look at films or telling you about films that he hasn't seen. Adam Carolla on the show tomorrow with The Week in Rage. And, of course, it's a book club Friday on the Kevin DeBede Show. Who's your friend Daniel Seberg? And what's his book, The Digital Diet, all about? We'll be talking about tomorrow.
He thinks Americans are addicted to their wireless devices, to the tweeting, to the Facebooking, to the just put it down, America. That's what he wants you to do. Spend some time away from your internet.
He's right that America's addicted. I mean, no one is questioning that anymore, right?
Yes, he's right. And I
think he's just saying it's a bad thing.
And I think we need to cut back. I think we need to lose about 40 pounds of tweet.
I think that's a great idea. Let's see if Bean can lose those 40
pounds. That's what we need Bean to lose. Yeah. Forget about the weight. Get as fat as you want, but stop tweeting.
Also, we put in a request for a guy who claims to be serious about suing Kim Kardashian because her wedding was a scam. He is leading a class action lawsuit on behalf of all Americans who were roped into this BS fake wedding.
He's right. It's fraud.
I'm joining.
I am too.
He says it's fraud. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him tomorrow. That's all coming up right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.